There'll be no mollycoddling.
Everybody loves on a bike.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
The Don and Mike Show. And they'll say what they wish.
Tom, missed you at the Super Bowl we did, Phil.
Yes, we did.
Phil.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Phil and I had a great evening last night. We went to the Palm for a two-martini lunch.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Howie Long's capped teeth and all the ships at sea.
Oh, hey, I forgot to mention that.
It's a program so smooth, not even Rudy needs lubrication with it.
Come on.
The Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Robbie and Alois. Thank you for listening coast-to-coast and nationwide, still via Best Woodvon, darling. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara. Right here back from the Super Bowl. That's why we call it Don and Mike Show, coming to you from radio station WJFK FM in Washington, D.C.
How many affiliates do we have?
55.
Yeah.
Double nickel Rudy's underpants cost us no cancellation.
A kaleidoscope of color.
55 affiliate stations and over 5 million Arbitron rated listeners. And we thank you. We humbly thank you for your patronage. Of course, it all starts at the top. Big Al, your radio pal.
That's right.
Jeremy the Gerbil, Big Daddy Mel. I had an encounter with him over the weekend. Tell you about that.
Scary.
And, of course, Donald the Monkey Boy Ephraim. And here he is to my left, your right. You better have some good news today, Bud. You've had 4 days to stock up on your stories.
That's true.
Here he is, the inventor of the car cozy. Radio's Michael J. Elston.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hello, Buzz. And, well, we're here. It's Monday, Jan 31.
It sure is.
Telephone number 1-877-365-3636.
And it's sunny outside.
Yeah. Just made it back from the Super Bowl just this morning.
I was thinking that you might not make it in due to the inclement weather.
We were hoping, Mike.
I had to.
They had to. The way we do it with the Super Bowl is that we all go down and do the show.
Right.
And then generally, Mike skips town
right
within 12 hours of our show being over.
I was actually going to stay a little longer this year, but
the ice storm scared you away.
Scared me away. Sure. Decided to bolt on out of town early and take a Friday morning flight out. And when I took my Friday morning, did I tell you on the phone that I flew back with somebody famous?
No, who?
I was getting on the plane, and I was putting my overhead bag in, and I hear, Mike, Mike. And I turned around, and it's my old college buddy and Good Morning America weatherman, Mr. Tony Perkins.
Oh, you didn't mention that.
I didn't mention that to you.
You didn't drop his name when I called you on Saturday.
I flew back with him, and I want to say hi to Tony's mom, who listens to the show. And
Ma Perkins.
I think she's 61 and a grandmother.
Widow Perkins.
And a grandmother. No, I'm not sure the dad's alive.
That's a gag, Tony.
It said, he said that she listens all the time, so I wanted to say hi to her. And he's a great guy. You know, he is just he's a very cool
same
guy.
Same guy as when he was the weatherman on Channel 5.
And you know, and same as he's always been. And it's just, you know, if I was, you know, a national weatherman on one of the morning TV shows, I'd be a real a-hole. And he wasn't.
Unless you were Mark McEwen.
Then you'd just be standing out on the corner waiting for people to notice you.
Well, get ready, because they will be dropping names today.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chance of falling names, because
the only one I have.
I spent all weekend in Atlanta, and I did nothing.
But the celebrity watch?
But run into people,
right.
Meet people, had some celebrities who were real jerk-offs, who I will be able to tell you about, because I saw some of them having actual tantrums in front of me.
Excellent. That's always good.
Some of them were very nice. Some of them not so nice.
Were some of them super, super nice?
Some of them were super, super nice.
Good.
And some of them, I think, the ones that I want to tell you about who are the biggest jerk-offs will make you the happiest when you find out who they are.
That is so wonderful.
So, we did the show Thursday. And, you know, I just want to say something about this show. I'm very proud of the fact that the company flew us down to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Let us do a Super Bowl show. And the highlight of the show was looking at Rudy Martsky's dirty underpants.
I think that's something we can all be proud of.
Great.
I think that speaks to this program and what at the core of what this program is all about. And I'm very proud of that.
Every time I saw another disc jockey down in Atlanta on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday,
right.
They'd always say, hey, did you guys do a show down here?
Right.
I say, yeah. They said, who'd you have on? Because it's a big competition down there with,
sure.
With 8,000 unwashed disc jockeys in one big room together. Mm-hmm. And generally they get a guy like Deacon Jones, the old football player, and he just sits down for 5 minutes at 50 different radio stations, they all get the same guest.
Yeah, it's right. The same old stuff, and it's the same old excited, you know, and it's more exciting for the people that are sitting at the broadcast site than it is for the listening audience, frankly. It really is.
So I started, at first when people would say to me, who did you have on your show? I started to run down some of the most notorious names that we had on that other people didn't have. But then I started getting bored with telling people that we had Leslie Visser and Howie Long. So I just started saying the truth. The highlight of our trip was looking at Rudy Marcy's dirty underpants.
It was the highlight. It was the funniest part of the show.
And looking at his nightstand to find his Vaseline and his lubricant.
Of course.
A question which incidentally served me well throughout the weekend as an icebreaker.
Sure.
For instance, when I finally hooked up with Al Michaels on Friday night at this commissioner's party that I had a ticket to, I was introduced to him and I said, hey, you ran out of Rudy's party.
You snap him out of that bad mood he was in?
On Thursday night, I said, I heard you had a fight with your producer. And right away, Al Michaels got a look on his face that said, you know, don't ask me about it. He did not have a friendly look.
Right. He didn't have a friendly look at the Super Bowl broadcast either, frankly.
I said, how about this? Let me change the topic. Do you know that when Mike and I were at Rudy's house, the party you walked out of, we went into his bathroom, and we went through his hamper, and I asked him the question again about what was in Rudy's nightstand.
Right.
Al Michaels, the only person who guessed Viagra.
Really? Viagra. Yeah. Very good.
Because at first he said a remote control, and I said, no,
right.
It's something nasty, and it starts with the letter V. And he said Viagra, and then as soon as I said Vaseline, it loosened right up.
Ah, good. Sure. Okay.
No pun intended.
I wish he'd loosened up during that telecast a little bit. I didn't get the impression that he or Boomer were really getting along at all,
right,
during that whole telecast. As a matter of fact, it was so strained that a couple of times I thought they were going to come to blows.
I don't know about that, because my only vantage point was from where we were. Bart and I were in the stands. For a change, the station got us really, really fine seats.
Right.
And we loved watching the game out in the field before the game with Leslie Visser, who was on this show.
Right.
The only
wearing a lovely green ensemble. Did you see her up close with that green outfit?
Yeah. And you know what? Really had the makeup just crawled on.
You know, I hate to get nitpicky with people, but did she have some little, like, eye thing happening, you know?
I didn't notice that.
I, the party on Thursday night, I noticed that. She had
eyes was bloodshot.
Yeah, it was a bloodshot.
Bloody eye.
She had the bloody eye.
Which you had.
Yeah. I hope everything's all right. You know,
listen, I've got a whole weekend full of crap to tell you, but I'll tell you, at the game, when the game was happening, here's the deal. They've been having ice storms in Atlanta all weekend long. The city was paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that it was snowing back here, back at home, back in D.C.
Some areas got a foot of snow yesterday.
So this was the fine line that we were balancing, wondering if we were going to be able to get out of town in time this morning, Monday morning, to make it back so I could do the show.
Mm-hmm.
The only flight that we figured out we'd be safe on left Atlanta this morning at 6:15, which meant that Bart and I had to get up this morning at 4 o'clock and take the subway to the airport.
Now,
the reason I mention this is that last night at the game, I'm looking at my watch, it's 9 o'clock, and at that point, St. Louis is up 16 to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting ready to leave.
Right.
All of a sudden, Tennessee comes back.
Pretty incredible comeback.
It's 16-16, we can't leave.
Right.
St. Louis, with 2 minutes left, Kurt Warner throws that pass to Isaac Bruce. He goes in for the touchdown. St. Louis goes up 23-16, and I said to Bart, Now's the time to leave. Now's the time to leave, because everybody's going to stay. We're going to be able to go right out, get into the subway. We'll be back in the hotel by 10:15, get 6 hours sleep. Mm-hmm. You'll be fine. I'll be fine. Grudgingly, he said, okay, but he was positive Tennessee was going to come back and tie the game up and send it to overtime.
You don't know how right he almost was.
So we get on the subway. We get back to our hotel. As we walk through the lobby of the hotel, all the Rams idiots, drunk out of their minds, they're dancing and stuff.
Right.
As soon as we come in the lobby, we realize the Rams have won the game.
Uh-huh.
And I said to Bart, see that? That's why your dad has got it right up here, the old noodle. See that? Now we're not going to be in traffic for 2 hours because we knew St. Louis was going to win. It wasn't until we went up to our room and we turned on SportsCenter that we saw what everybody else saw.
That you were literally 12 inches away from being wrong.
That Tennessee came within a foot of sending the game into overtime.
Yeah, but look at this way. You would have, you know, even if you had been wrong, you would have seen the overtime period in your hotel room, which would have been fun.
Yeah.
After, you know, after all of that.
But it was a great weekend, and Christ, I got tons of stories to tell you. Let's see who's on the telephone.
All right.
First, because I'm going to have a large, big, vast space to drop name and to tell you about a few things that happened to me this weekend. Hello, Johnny.
Yes.
Johnny, buddy, you're on the air.
Hey, Don Mike.
Hi, buddy.
I just wanted to comment on Leslie Visser's hideous overall appearance last night.
Oh, God. What do you mean?
I mean hideous.
I saw her in person. I thought she looked all right.
She looked fine.
Well, she looked like she just had this face painted on, eyebrows done all up, and what was with the geisha girl outfit?
You know, the outfit, I got to tell you, when you're going with the lime green, or the, I don't even know if it was lime green, more like institutional green.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the outfit was.
It was like a Kelly green almost. Yeah, like a British green.
It was a weird green. It was a green we can't describe.
I read a review this morning that said it looked like Leslie Visser was made up by the Disney cartoon people.
She did have tons of crap pancaked on her face. Oh, and let me tell you that at least if you're watching the game at home,
right,
you could get up, go take a crap, get something to eat during that ridiculous Disney halftime show.
Yeah.
If you're in the stadium,
you're stuck.
You're there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to watch it. And it blew.
You know, I'm waiting for the time when they start to figure out less is more, where they really just get over this, because they always have the same kind of shows. They always suck. They're always overblown.
This was worse than
the hats that they were wearing with it. You know, it just was, I don't know, the only word I can describe it with, it's too gay. It is. I'm sorry.
It was very gay, and it was more gay if you were there,
mm-hmm.
because we were close enough to see the people come prancing out, the
right.
1,000 people in the matching white uniforms, the 1,000 people in the matching pink uniforms, and the guys who were operating those big, like, robotic skeletons.
Yeah, big, like, praying mantises that they have up there. And then, you know, it's all one big putting on the hits, because they're all lip-syncing.
Oh, this is what I wanted to ask you about. Before the game, someone says to us, you realize that Faith Hill is going to be singing the national anthem. She's not going to lip-sync it. Now, what we couldn't tell was,
right,
we could see Faith Hill, but she was so far away we couldn't see her face.
Mm-hmm.
As we were listening to her sing, and they would show her up on the big screen,
right,
it sure did look like, on more than one occasion, she flubbed.
Yeah.
That when it was like, oh, the Rockets, red glare, she started to sing something else and caught herself. Did that happen on TV, or was that just a glitch in the stadium?
I wish I could tell you. I was holding my 2-year-old over the toilet at that moment. My two-year-old was vomiting at the beginning of the entire family all weekend had the stomach flu, and I was holding my 2-year-old, and I was listening to Faith Hill, but my 2-year-old was, Elizabeth, was sleeping in my lap, and woke up almost at the moment that the national anthem was going to be sung, and that's when she went like that. So I had to do the mad dash. So I didn't.
Gotcha.
I heard it, but I did not see it. So I don't know. I mean, did it look like it was being lip sung
in the stadium? People were laughing because it looked like, as the words were coming out. First of all, the video was not meshed
right
with the audio.
Right.
So I thought that maybe there was a half second skip. But at one point, she got to a line in the song, and it looked like she just fumbled it and then just kept going, plowed right ahead.
I don't know. If she was doing it live, that's the first time it's been done really live in the last 5 or 6 years.
I'll tell you the other great, great, great advantage that you have, and I love going to that game every year. It's fantastic, Barton. I love it. But the biggest advantage you have, besides being able to watch the commercials when you watch it at home,
right,
is the fact that, for instance, yesterday, do you know what the entertainment for everybody in the stadium was while the commercials were being played on TV?
What?
The goddamn Smothers Brothers.
Oh, God. We did have it better with the commercials.
If there is a worse comic act operating today than the Smothers Brothers,
right,
please bring them to me.
Mm-hmm.
You got 70,000 people in the stadium who are dying to be entertained during these incredibly long 5-minute TV timeouts.
Sure.
And what do we get? Hi, I'm Tom Smothers. I'm Dick Smothers. I'm for the Rams. I'm for the Titans. Who in the crowd is for the Rams?
And, you know, then all the idiots scream, yay.
Are you getting it live, or is it on the big telescreen?
They're standing in the middle of the field.
Oh, God.
And it's also on the telescreen.
Oh, man.
But the one great thing, at one point they started to do a bit.
Right.
They actually started telling jokes and stuff. And everybody in the stadium also just All the angry revelers.
70,000 drunk people booing the Smothers Brothers.
Well, you know, I got to be honest with you. My opinion, as far as watching it at home, there were some decent commercials, but it was not what it had been in years past. And with all the dot-coms, there were lots of sort of funny commercials. There were lots of confusing commercials. There were some that, that people liked, like the Wizard of Oz commercial. I'm sorry, Rob. Rob told me you liked the FedEx Wizard of Oz commercial the best.
How did
he? And there were some good commercials, but it didn't seem to me that it was the same quality that we'd had in the past. There were some that were funny. There were some that, you know, did the special effects. There's one that has a cheetah running across the Mountain Dew commercial with the cheetah running across the desert, and then they show this guy on a mountain bike that's chasing the cheetah. You know it's computer-generated, but it's photographed so well that you're looking at it, and then you didn't know how it was going to end. And he ends up, he's getting close to this cheetah, and he throws his bike and jumps and wrestles the cheetah to the ground. And you see him looking at the cheetah, and he says, "Bad kitty." And the cheetah goes, like that. And then you see him just reach down the whole throat of the cheetah and pull out a can of Mountain Dew. And it's, you know, it's that computer-generated crap. That was my favorite one. There were a couple of funny ones.
Anything was better than the Smothers Brothers.
I tell you, the Smothers Brothers, that's Super Bowl entertainment.
And then finally, when they realized that the Smothers Brothers were not going over, they brought out the dog catching frisbees.
Oh, hey.
And that's when the crowd went crazy.
I love that.
People were on their feet applauding more for the dog catching frisbees than when there were real touchdowns scored in the game.
What I wanted to ask you about being in there, I'm just basing this on what the announcers said. Al Michaels and Boomer Esiason, they kept saying, you know, "Hey, just so glad to be inside."
It was
so glad. Was it that kind of environment where it was just
awful?
Okay.
It was awful. There was maybe a half inch of ice everywhere in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they had more than one bus. You know how that some of those hills in downtown Atlanta?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I guess that's why they call them hills, because they're hilly. They had more than one bus that tried to go up a hill.
And just started going sideways.
And slid all the way down. And at one point, they actually had three buses slide into each other. And on the freeway on Saturday morning, a 57 car accident.
You know, I was talking to Rob before the show about this, and I was going to ask you. I know you were downtown. Well, I mean, from watching the news, it looked to me like the city was paralyzed.
Nobody was getting in or getting out.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. Absolutely nobody. Well, Rob did, though.
Well, actually, I was out.
How did you make it around?
My hotel was in Fort Lauderdale. And it was only in town that was bad. If you hung out in the burbs, it wasn't all that bad. I mean, it was a little treacherous, but all the Haitian cab drivers seemed to know how to handle the ice.
Oh, and I got to tell you, I did. This will be the first name that I dropped.
Mm-hmm.
I had a chance to meet that cow that owns the St. Louis Rams before the game.
Oh. Georgia Frontier,
yes. And she was introduced to me as Georgia Frontier.
Mm-hmm. Georgia Frontier. Listen, what I never got the explanation why she changed that name.
You know who she smells just like? I swear to God. Aline Cunningham.
Oh, rose petal perfume.
She had that same old woman smell about her. We were standing down in the field, and she came by, and someone said, "Hey, Georgia, this is, you know, this jockey." And she reached over, shook my hand, gave me a kiss on the cheek, left a big old lady imprint on my cheek.
Have you washed your cheek yet?
Oh, immediately. And I'm telling you.
Basil to it, didn't you?
I'm telling you, there was the smell of booze.
Oh, really?
The smell of booze on her breath.
Well, what, you know, I was trying to figure this bird out, really, when I was looking at her on the sideline. She wears that same suit that looks like she's been wearing it since the third game of the playoffs.
She told me why. Because they haven't won while they've been wearing the suit. First thing this old cow says to me, she meets me, right? She says, "Hello, what's your sign?"
Oh, really?
First,
wow.
First thing she said to me, said, "I'm a Virgo." She said, "I knew that." I knew that. Right. "I'm a Scorpio."
God.
She said, "The Rams are going to win today." It's in the stars.
That
with a boozy breath.
Is it her sixth husband that she inherited?
Fifth husband
she inherited the team, and she's been married twice since, right?
Yeah, she's on number seven now.
She's on number seven now.
On number seven now. Number five is the dude who went swimming and mysteriously drowned in the ocean. That's how she got the team.
Maybe they should change it to the St. Louis Black Widow. There you go.
Ah, the Widow Frontier. Frontier.
Come out like wearing webs. You know, that'd be cool.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hey, Dave.
Thank you. Dave took a big deep breath and then hung up.
All right, here is Scott calling us from Spokane, Washington. Hello, Scott.
What's up? Hey, first I just want to say, first time caller, love your guys' show. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you for the bio. What can we do for you?
Real quick, you guys are talking about Faith Hill and whether she was lip-syncing or not.
Yeah.
And the way we could tell on TV that she was if you remember 5 or 6 years ago when Whitney Houston did it live, and after the fact it was all over and she was spanking the crowd and kind of tearing herself on, her mic was still open. Faith Hill tried to do that yesterday and kind of put her fist in the air and screamed, yeah, but her mic was off.
All right.
That's how you could tell.
So, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Boy, there's some brilliant analysis right there.
Hello, David.
Yes.
Hey, David, you're on the air.
The halftime show, what did you think of that with the weird dancing
hat?
Yes.
it was awful. Can someone explain to me why Edward James Olmos was even involved in that?
Why is Edward James Olmos involved in anything?
Right. And now, he said there was a Time Life headset on, and now we're going to take a look at how we should all love each other
right.
in the next century. Here's Christine Aguilera.
Yeah.
That's a non sequitur. Right. Where is the segue?
What are they doing? Trying to find the guy with the worst skin? Is that what they were trying to do?
Was Tommy Lee Jones not available? I know Norv was available.
Like, we get Davey Johnson as a backup, too.
The all bad skin team.
Have them all up there. Now, please, honor America and some of the worst skin in the United States.
And Phil Collins, poor, pathetic Phil Collins.
Oh, my God. Phil Collins, though, he's always got an angle. You know that. He's selling something. If you
right.
see him up there, he is selling. I don't know what he's selling.
Well, yesterday he was selling Tarzan.
Yeah, right. Of course.
That
right.
song was from Tarzan, yeah. which coincidentally is going to be released on video sometime.
Sure, it's the whole Disney, and we certainly knew it was a Disney production. I mean, you had to know it was it's not the halftime show. It's Walt Disney's halftime show.
Right.
Disney's production. Be sure you catch, and all those people that were in the halftime show, you're going to make sure you see them in the coming year for Disney's Millennium Celebrate, so you can rest assured that Aguilera and Phil Collins, they will all be performing in Disney.
Thank God that they didn't give all of us in the stands those stupid cards to hold up. Every time that we've been at the Super Bowl, that's the most confusing part. Because they go through a drill with you where they say, you're going to be on national television. You're a big part of the show. And then they say, when you see the number 3 on the scoreboard, hold up your red card.
But didn't have to do that this year.
Invariably, I think the reason they stopped it is that the people simply were so drunk they didn't follow the rules.
Yeah.
People would be holding up the wrong cards.
it was really one of the more ridiculous ones I've ever seen. I wish they wouldn't make such a big deal about it. I used to like it. I was real happy with it. Hey, look at the formation that the marching band used to make on the field.
Last year, they had, before the game, Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And at halftime, Stevie Wonder.
Right.
Now, you're not going to find, for my money, better entertainment than that. You got it right there. You got Kiss coming out with the goddamn makeup and the explosions. And then you have Stevie Wonder. This year, before the game, you had Travis Tritt.
Weak.
And Tina Turner. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to hype the fact that she has a record out that nobody's bought yet.
Hey, how about those legs, though, huh? How about those 60-year-old legs?
Yeah, she's a big 6-0.
I tell you, man, she can sing. And look at those stems. Man, call me. I might, to risk sounding like an old fart, I would really love to see you take the greatest high school bands, because there's still plenty of high school bands.
Okay, the Chief stands alone. I don't want to see a high school band.
No, you have the best. You have it like a competition, and you have the best, most entertaining. And I used to love watching some of those bands at halftime that were doing the dance steps and stuff. And then you say the best one gets to entertain at the Super Bowl.
How about we just do away with a halftime?
Yeah.
Why do these guys need to rest anyway?
Well, I really used to like going to an old football game and at many professional football games at most all high school bands, and the band comes out. That's why you had a high school band.
Right. I have 3 words why you should not like that. Redskins marching band.
Yeah. Okay. But actually, there's a huge difference. That's a professional group of losers. I'm sorry. That is a professional.
That is an insult to all the professional losers listening to us right now.
I'm thinking of a high school band. The kids that couldn't make the football team. The kids that were in the band. I believe in like high school and college bands that are really cool, and they get up and they have the uniforms and they do the little steps. I like that. All this crap.
What about DMX or Metallica?
Boo.
Give us somebody halfway decent out there, for goodness sake.
What's the bad?
Don't give me stupid Smothers Brothers. Please.
Hi, I'm Tom Smothers, and I'm Dick Smothers.
You know, you missed one great commercial during the Super Bowl. This one was really funny. Rob and I agreed on this one. It's a commercial, you know, you can't miss with a monkey.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot miss with a chimpanzee. And all it was two guys, they're in a garage, and they're sitting there, and these two guys are sitting. One guy is sitting on a cooler, and the other guy is sitting in a lawn chair, and they're both, like, clapping their hands, almost like they look like chimps. And the chimp is standing up between them on, like, a milk crate, and the chimp's just going... And nothing's happening. And you just see this, and it's just nothing is happening at all. And the guy, and the one guy looks really stupid, and he's clapping his hand. And this goes on for 60 seconds. And then what was the slug line, Rob? We just wasted $2 million. What was it?
Right. It was from E-Trade. It said
E-Trade had some of the best.
We just wasted $2 million. How are you investing your money?
That's exactly what we just wasted. And that's all. There was nothing about the company. Right. And you had the guy, but with the chimp just going,
we could have seen a monkey.
We didn't have the stupid Smothers Brothers. A monkey would have really helped the Smothers Brothers out, man.
There's nothing like being there. Nothing like being at that game.
Absolutely not. Just loved it. Let me tell you one thing from the weekend before we do a break. And this was maybe the coolest thing I did.
Mm-hmm.
Also maybe the nerdiest. On Friday, this was Friday, the day that you had left.
Right.
Friday morning, Bart said, you know, we have these passes. Let's go to the press conferences.
Mm-hmm.
They were right down in the lobby of the hotel,
right,
in these big ballrooms. So I don't want to go to the conferences. So we go to Jeff Fisher's news conference,
mm-hmm,
which is live on ESPN and CNN SI. Big bore fest, but he loved being there.
Anybody ask him about his hair?
No, nobody did.
Okay.
Then we get done with that, and Bart says, now let's go to Dick Vermeil's. Dick Vermeil's is going to be in 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So we sit three rows from the front, and if there's a more boring press conference, I don't know, but about 20 minutes into it, Bart said, Dad, ask a question.
There you go.
I said, I'm not going to ask a question. He said, ask a question. So the guy came by, and I put my hand up. And the way that they do it at the big press conferences, they come by, there's a guy with a headset and walkie-talkies.
Right.
And they actually choreograph one question from this side, one from this side, one from this side.
And they're carried live, aren't they?
Yes. And they come up with a big-ass microphone, and the camera's on, the person asking the question.
Right.
And the question gets heard all throughout this giant ballroom.
Right.
So I don't know if anybody was watching. I don't know if anybody's pathetic enough to be watching Dick Vermeil's press conference.
Had to be on ESPN News.
On Friday morning. But if you were, you saw me stand up.
What was your question?
I had the second to the last question.
Wow.
I stood up and I said, good morning, Dick. And I waited for a response. He said, good morning. And then I asked him some stupid babble about how Tampa Bay tackled well and was it a very aggressive defense. And how do you practice being aggressive with your team? And then I just stood there for a minute, looked at me, and said, that's an excellent question. And then I got to stand up for his entire answer because he looked me right through
the eye. Right, I'd like to give people one. Like pretending you really be interested.
Yeah, and I realized that all the other guys who have asked him questions, they're all like writing notes and junk.
You're just sitting up and nodding.
I'm just going,
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's cool. You got to ask him a question. I think that's fun.
Thank you. So I sit down, and right away Bart says, hey, Dad, that was so cool. Pipe down.
Nobody wants to know that a stupid disc jockey was just asking a question.
He'll remember that for the rest of his life.
Cool. Oh, cool. Christ. I love that. I go, good morning, Dick. And I hear my voice resonating.
Yeah.
Just booming on these microphones. And I actually waited for him to say, good morning.
You know, you're at the peak right now. I think you got the peak years for your son getting into that. And one of the nice things about going down there with him is to see how excited he is. And he still appreciates it. And he still digs it. And he's still super excited. And I think he got maybe one more year of that left, you know, before he gets into the 17-ish range where it's the cynical thing. Oh, Dad, why do we have to go to this thing?
No, he still likes it.
He still digs it.
Yeah, he had.
I know he still digs it now. He was so excited about going down there.
He had some nice moments with some people, and he had, as a matter of fact, one of the big jerk moments that we had with someone.
I'm dying to know.
Involved Bart.
I'm dying to know at least one of the people that acted like a jerk.
One of the people that was a jerk. Actually, there's five of them.
Oh, good. Wow.
In sync.
In sync,
well, I'll
tell you about them.
Oh, good.
And also Carson Daly. These are all people that we had direct contact with.
Oh, really? And jerky people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, nice to know that the jerky people are really jerky people.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Don, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, great game yesterday. I just wanted to point out that Leslie Visser, every time the camera went to her, she had a great big right nipple erection. It was great.
The man does not lie.
It was
noticeable. It was noticeable.
Through
the big thick suit that she was wearing.
Wow. Let me tell you, on my 55-inch screen TV, I didn't really focus on her makeup because I just kept staring at that.
But you know what?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, sir. I gotta back up what you're saying.
Maybe she's one of those one nipple girls.
Thank God ABC had the fortitude never to put Georgia Frontier and Leslie Visser on at the same time, because I think that would have made just about every man in America celibate.
I'm telling you right now, the suits were different colors, but I think they were made out of the same material.
Yeah,
Georgia Frontier had a rayon material.
Yeah.
Very cheap looking it was.
And Leslie Visser's also the same. I think they can paint those beautiful colors on the same material.
You know, there are some girls who only have one nipple.
Oh, really?
We know one.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
We know of one.
Yes.
One girl who only has one nipple.
That is true. That is true.
So we've heard.
Yes. You've totally thrown me with that. Yes. Now my memory.
You know who I'm talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
Hello, Chris.
Hey, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
All right, Georgia Frontier, at the end of that game, was obviously wasted. I don't know if you saw that, Mike. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. She was kind of wobbling all over the buggy and giving everybody sloppy kisses.
She was bombed at 4 o'clock when I met her.
it was obvious. National television, she's sitting there, and they're asking her questions, and she's just hugging Dick Vermeil, and then they finally get to her, and she doesn't know what she's saying. She just goes, oh, I'm thrilled. Just a big mess, man.
Hey, you know what? I got to give props to Dick Vermeil for somewhat keeping it together. When I really thought that he would be an absolute emotional wreck, I think somebody got to him this week with all that press that he was getting about being emotional, and he said, I'm going to keep it together.
Do you think his underpants look like Rudy's at the end of that game?
Oh, beyond Rudy's. Yeah, but I think Jeff Fisher's might have been worse. And I think if you went through the coaching staff, incidentally, you would forbid to drive if you were king. And if you went through that, especially Jim Hannifin. You know,
there's the old crusty Jim Hannifin.
Yeah, the old crusty. Yeah, speaking of crusty. Absolutely.
Hello, Jim.
Yes. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Don.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
He was just collecting himself.
Goodbye, Michael.
Don.
And Mike.
Hey, buddy. I'm in a car phone. Real quick. Did it seem like Steve Young's mom had to tie his tie and he couldn't get his words out yesterday? It seemed like I was ready for him to go into some kind of nervous tick and start salivating.
Well, he's had many, many concussions,
yeah.
You know.
Let me tell you. I mean, Steve Young, I always kind of thought, I've seen the commercials, I've seen where they have him all prepped up, and he was working with Chris Berman, who, seriously, I thought, somebody's going to have to give him a throat transplant.
Well, he had the flu.
He had the flu.
That's what was wrong with Chris Berman.
He not always have the flu, though. Isn't he always ill when it's the big event?
Take a look at him.
No, absolutely.
Please take a look at him.
It was Steve Young looked as though something was wrong with the top of his head. I said to my wife,
"Like, look like he had bedhead. Just looked up from the insane asylum kind of hair."
It looked as though, honest to God, if you looked really quick, you'd say somebody didn't finish building the rest of his head because it flattens out so totally up at the top, and then he had it. It really did look like bedhead. Didn't look like he got a good
head.
Helmet head.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. But then, I didn't know he had the flu. All he said, hey, my voice is going. But you know what the problem is with Chris Berman? Chris Berman is the type of guy, and we have lots of guys in our business that are like this. Chris Berman is the type of guy that says, I'll do it. I'll do it. You know, and if there's somebody standing around like Stuart Eisen or anybody else from me, is it Stuart Eisen? Stuart Scott, Rich Eisen.
Rich Eisen. Oh, hold on. A guy say, one of the biggest dicks.
Rich Eisen?
No.
Who?
Sterling Sharp.
Oh, really?
With his shiny suit.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting in the restaurant right there in the lobby of the Hyatt.
Okay, yeah, I know the one you're talking
this
about.
This is game day morning, Sunday morning. Bart and I are having breakfast, reading the newspaper. Joe Theismann comes through. And you know Joe Theismann. It's like he stops in the lobby and waits for people to say hello to him. He comes into this restaurant, and Bart and I are sitting about midway through, and he real loud, he goes, Johnny! Hey! Johnny! How are you doing? And he's not doing this because he gives a rat's ass about me. He's doing this because it's easier than just yelling, I'm Joe Theismann!
That's right.
Look at me! So he comes over and he sits down. We spend a second with Joe Theismann. Well, a moment later, walking into the restaurant, behind him, wearing his shiny suit, is Sterling Sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Joe says, Sterling, come here! So he comes over. And he says, I want you to meet some friends of mine. This is Don and Bart. He goes, yeah. Hey, I can't sit here, man. And Joe says, well, you don't have to sit down to this. I just want you to say hello. He said, I need a table in the back. And he calls one of the waitresses over. He goes,
I'm Sterling Sharp. I need a table where I can be by myself to compose myself. I'm going to be on ESPN in 3 hours. 70 million people will be watching me. I need to compose myself.
Oh, God.
So they go, okay, sure. And they take him to a table all the way in the back by himself.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
What a jerk off.
Nice fella.
Please.
God.
I mean, really. Put it in perspective.
Really.
But, you know, seriously, being down there with
meanwhile,
you,
there's Joe. You know, Mr., you know, look at me. I'm Joe Feisman.
Hi. You know, Joe's at least got a little perspective on the whole thing.
Joe would wear his Super Bowl ring through his nipple if he could.
Absolutely.
He would wear it through his nose if he could.
Yeah. And Joe's not somebody who asked for the private room. Joe wants the room. You know. Joe can handle it. I mean, let's put it, you know, and to be honest with you, those guys, is it any wonder why they lack perspective, though? I mean, with the adulation. I mean, you go into that lobby of the main media hotel down there in Atlanta or any of these Super Bowls.
Everybody kisses their ass.
It's just this total suck fest. But I've never seen, I don't think they get it in any other sport, really, to that extent.
Mm-hmm.
And especially for this event, because it's one game. You know, it's not a series because it's one game. You see this, and you see grown men. You know, guys, that, you know, not necessarily my kids. In fact, there are very few kids, really, that you see around this.
They're all like 50-year-old fat guys with leather jackets on.
You know, going, Michael Irvin! Michael Irvin!
That's the sound of a sucking ass.
Mr. Irvin, can I... Put your butt out! Let me attach myself to it! Please!
Oh! You know, on Saturday night, when I had one of my shiny suits on.
Yeah.
Because we're going out to a function.
Mm-hmm.
We were walking through the lobby. Some doofus came up to me and said, hey, can I have your autograph?
Isn't that great? Because there's so many idiots down there. They're just looking for somebody to even look somewhat like a football player.
Right. I swear to God, I wrote Dick Head. I wrote Dick Head. And the guy took it, and he looked at it, and he said, who'd you play for? I said, Green Bay. He said, right off, go Packers! I just wrote down Dick Head on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Perfectly legible for this guy.
He's saying, you know, he's from Green Bay. That's what kind of fans those are. That's why he was so excited about it.
Did you see all the St. Louis fans with watermelons on their heads?
No, I did not.
I don't know why they do this, but at the stadium yesterday, there were like 500 people that had real watermelons. They had carved out the inside. And these morons would just wear the watermelons on their heads.
Well, probably just get TV time.
I don't know.
Get the TV time machine.
Hello, Scott.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, you guys, just want to let you know, you guys make me laugh every day. I've been listening to you for about 7 years. Someone turned me on, another sales rep turned me on about 7 years ago, and I'm addicted. I just have to tell you that.
Thank you. Thank you for the testimonial. How may we help you?
I wanted to see if you guys had a chance to take a look at Kurt Warner's wife, what the outfit she was wearing.
I didn't see her.
You didn't see that?
I think she looked okay.
First off, that girl needs to grow her hair.
I think she looked okay. She was wearing a royal blue kind of dance-skin top with a feather boa thing around the neck.
Classy.
Yeah, it was
sounds very classy. It
was
the sounds
Saint
extremely
Louis,
classy.
It was St. Louis blue. It was Rams blue is what she was wearing. And she, there's something about her. She just looks okay to me.
She looks like a...
She doesn't look bad to me.
She looks like a dolled-up Martina Navratilova.
She reminded me of an ostrich. With that little blue feather deal around her neck.
She's not too butch, is she?
She has a look. I know.
Yeah, go Kurt. Come give me a kiss.
I don't mind.
You throw ball.
I don't mind that look. I do not mind that look. She looks like she works out.
Please.
She does.
Hey, she's got the Rob Spiewak haircut. No, really, look at really. She has the Tim McWilliams haircut.
Yeah.
The rooster haircut.
Yeah,
she really has.
She does have the hairdo is interesting. It's very interesting.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Don and Mike.
Goodbye. All right. Hello, Sonia.
Don and Mike.
Hey, baby.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, we're great, thank you.
My boyfriend, we were watching the game last night, and he had the giggles through all of the commercials. This is mainly for Mike.
Yes.
Did you see, or should I ask, what were your comments on the Christopher Reeve commercial? Because my boyfriend was laughing all the way through it, and I still don't know what was so funny about it.
I'll be honest with you. The Christopher Reeve commercial, it caught me so much by surprise,
right,
that I didn't have time to do the technical analysis, which Rob was talking about, where the head didn't match up with the body.
But I had seen that commercial.
before the game. They had done a special showing what the big commercials were going to be.
I didn't see it coming. So, I mean, I was watching that commercial completely without knowing what was going to happen. And because of that, I didn't react with a laugh.
They didn't play it for laughs.
You know me, Mr. Rudy. You know, watching Rudy, I was moved by that commercial.
You mean the movie Rudy, not Rudy Marcy.
Not Rudy Marcy. I found the commercial moving. I got to be honest with you.
What was that with the Muhammad Ali commercial? I didn't get that.
What could he have done a commercial for?
What he did.
Everybody who has a disability gets a commercial now?
Exactly the commercial. Here's the commercial.
I just thought that was...
Was he shadowboxing?
He was shadowboxing the whole time. And he was talking something about health care, and he wasn't speaking, but...
Of course he wasn't speaking.
Right.
What was he going to say?
He can still shadowbox.
I just want to give a shout-out to James Neal. I love him so much, and I think you guys are the greatest.
Thank you.
Just keep up the good work.
Thank you, honey.
Okay.
Bye-bye. She was probably expecting me to giggle like her boyfriend, but I wasn't giggling very much. I didn't because maybe it's because I was covered with vomit anyway.
I don't think that the point of that commercial.
Was not for you
to giggle.
Right. No, but I mean, I can see where people, for Rob Spiewak, it was.
Right. Well, you were very drunk, Rob.
For Rob
Spiewak, how many martinis did you have before you watched the game on Sunday?
I just had a few beers, but the thing that had struck me is the head didn't match up, and I thought of you. I thought it looked like Beetlejuice.
That's right.
I thought they could have. Now, they did a good job like FedEx did on that Wizard of Oz commercial.
Oh, we stopped it with that thing. And if I'm Christopher Reeve, I don't do that commercial.
Well, you know what?
I don't do a commercial that shows me getting up and walking. I think it's jinxing the fact that he might ever walk again.
That's an interesting point. But the thing that we never got answered, because they were talking in some of the post game about that show. I think it might have been that horrible show, Politically Incorrect, that I was watching, where they were talking about the Christopher Reeve commercial. I said, you know, why is he making money off of it? I think that maybe there's part of that that went to research for his foundation, which is what he does everything for, and I think that's why he agreed to do the commercial. But I'm not sure. I didn't know what the answer was.
I wouldn't doubt if he did it partly for the money, because let's be honest.
I believe it was an investment banking commercial, wasn't it?
I don't remember the client right now, but I did make some comments from him today, in which he said he jumped at the chance to do the commercial as much as he can with his paralysis, because he said he thought it would draw people's attention to the fact that what he believed is that eventually there would be a cure and that he would walk again.
See, but that's awful.
Yeah. I mean, that's awful from the standpoint of, I think the guy's put a permanent hex on himself now that he's not going to be able to walk.
That's interesting.
That's the first thought I had when I saw that commercial. When I first saw it, I thought... Wow, Christopher Reeve is walking. Then someone said to me, no, you dope.
Did you really think that's what...
Well, I saw it in a crowded room where they were just showing us tapes of the commercials wouldn't be seeing.
When you don't see it coming, it takes you back, because, I mean, it really was... It made you think, and it's the only commercial that, you know, when you see some of the crap that they were running, you know, the Beast companies paid $2 million.
Oh, you sucker.
You know, of all the ones that I hate, first of all, the ones that you've seen before... But just the standard commercials, like for a car or something, that have no creativity at all.
Don't you want to shoot your TV every time you hear Laku Rock? I mean, please. Will someone please just shoot Bob Seger right now? Although I don't think that would accomplish it, because the song would still live on.
Yeah, they'd still have the royalties for the song. It'd be ridiculous.
Well, the best. Here we go, the best. Well, the Christopher Reeve walking commercial was judged the fourth best commercial.
That's the rest.
Oh, the rest.
Oh, I see.
Oh, the best.
What was the best? I want to see what was rated the best, because I tell you, so I love the cheetah commercial. I like the cat wrangling.
Budweiser.
Oh, please.
Rex the dog.
Okay. That's the one we like the best.
Then the second was Mountain Dew, the one you talked about with the cheetah.
Oh, good. Okay, that's good.
Then Tropicana, Senior Works Out.
Dumb.
Then...
Do you agree, Buzz? Did you see that one?
Yes, I did.
I mean, nothing really creative about it. Old person, a body double doing chin-ups and stuff as an old person. Real creative.
That is Budweiser. Dog gives owner a beer.
That was funny.
And Pets.com, the sock puppet sings If You Leave Me Now.
The Budweiser one with the dog giving the owner a beer is, you don't even realize the dog is talking, but it's basically the dog doing the same kind of play-by-play you'd hear for a like a Mighty Dog commercial. That's why I give him the best. I want him to get the very best so he can have the energy to do what he's doing. And you realize at the end, you know, it's a Bud commercial. You say, what's going on? And then you see the guy opening a Bud, and he's not saying anything. And the dog, that's why I give him Budweiser. It was funny to see. You have to see it.
I guess so. I don't know. I was loving the Smothers Brothers myself.
I'm sure. Yeah.
The fantastic Smothers Brothers.
I'm glad to see the cheetah one, but the one with the dog is it's Rex the dog is in a movie, and he's not emoting. He's supposed to cry over the dead body of this cowboy. And he said, think back to something that was really a tragedy in your life. And it shows him he's chasing a Budweiser truck, and he jumps over the hedge, and he hits a van. And then they cut back to the dog going, whoa. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Really fine.
Well, people loved it, Mike.
People loved it.
Dogs love cheese.
I haven't seen. Where's my watermelon head?
Oh, Jeff.
Hey, Donna, Mike.
Look at that Christopher Reeves walking. Ooh, that is funny. That's incredible. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Donna, Mike. How you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Good. Hey, two quick things. Hey, Don, I was listening to talk. I was flipping around out here. I'm out on the West Coast at some of these news conferences before the game.
Yes.
And I saw that Vermeer one, and the funny thing was, you know, you got a shot on TV quick. It didn't even register to me, but...
You know who this is?
This
is a Joe Mama guy. I have
right.
a prediction.
Oh, I agree.
I have a prediction that this is a Joe Mama guy.
Am I correct?
I'm sorry?
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Oh, no. And I'm not. I just was going to say...
Oh, no. Just go finish your thought.
When I was watching and I heard the voice, I immediately picked up that it was you, and then they didn't cut back. They stayed on Vermeer. But I did see that, and I heard your question.
I think he's just bailed out of it, but I believe that this was a Joe Mama guy.
No, absolutely not. I'm in Sacramento.
What does that matter?
Oh, I guess it wouldn't mean anything. You're right. But I really wasn't.
Okay.
I do have one other thought.
Of course you do.
Of course.
The Christopher Reeve commercial, I think it would have been number one if he would have rode in on a horse. What is that?
I'm positive that was a Joe Mama guy who was just trying to back out with some of his B material.
Yeah, it's you know, they're all out there. You just gotta be really aware of them.
You know what? We've got to stop taking those calls for a second. We have to do a break. We've been on the air an hour. No commercials.
Easier than being at a cocktail party.
Sure is. Well, unless you have Rudy's underpants.
Yeah, that's right. Toe tapping, touch toes, right there. I'm giving you a first chance this week to win up to $10,000. And this will be the week that we start giving out clues.
Oh, very exciting.
To make it easier for you to win the money. The 10 grand, up to 10 grand. Secret celebrity laugh number 3. Let's get to it right now with the 100th caller. Good luck. Call Rocket right now. His days are numbered, but he can still count to 100.
All right.
Phone number 1-877-365-3636.
Hey, come out in the living room. Superman's walking.
Oh, that is funny.
We'll be back. He's the Don and Mike Show.
Me too. Just after 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
You live on the East Coast. If you live in Vermont, you're hearing this show in White River Junction, Vermont. Who knew there was such a place? Radio station, WHNV. The Score, right. Sports Radio.
Helping you to understand comedy. Don and Mike.
We're trying. First off, Christopher Reeve walking. Not funny.
Right.
No, then just so don't be confused. That commercial was not designed to make you laugh.
Made somebody giggle, though.
Yes, that boyfriend.
Hey! Mike, I would like your comment.
What are your comments? We were debating whether that was supposed to be funny or not.
My boyfriend could not stop giggling at that.
Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Moron.
Listen, we have a big week on the show. Wednesday.
Man, I love this song.
Two nights from now, Wednesday night, we're going to debut the all-new... Year 2000 Las Vegas style show.
Ooh. Fantastic.
At Bo Hager's in Baltimore.
Right.
Don't cost nothing to get in. We will see you Wednesday night about 9 o'clock. Be talking lots about that soon. This weekend, boys, we're set up.
Yeah.
Saturday morning, paintball.
Fantastic.
Us against them. And Mike?
Yes, Don.
You and I?
Yes.
We'll be using select fire markers made by Angels. They fire as many as 15 rounds per second.
Now, because you've read that, does that mean we will have the best firearms?
The guns that you and I will be using have a retail value of $1,500 each.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody else would be using the equivalent of slingshots.
Fantastic. Hey, Mick Williams.
We will be playing, and we want to thank the people at Pev's Paintball in Woodbridge, Virginia.
Now, I forgot the rules. Can you go? Can you aim for the head?
We're going to be wearing helmets, so sure, knock yourself out.
Fantastic.
Also, got to promote this coming Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Same day as the Vegas Style Show. Make sure you're listening, because you're going to be giving away a trip for two anywhere, virtually anywhere in the United States.
Oh, that's exciting.
That's on Wednesday. And 2 weeks from today, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, I just want to pre-promote this.
Right.
2 weeks from today, it's Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to have a hot tub show featuring Jenna, Shiloh, Dennis Murphy, and a chance for somebody to win a jacuzzi hot tub for eight people.
Oh, that is so exciting.
That is our big Valentine's Day show. Lots of stuff on the horizon.
Oh, boy, I'm psyched about that.
We don't have to be in the hot tub.
Not if Dennis Murphy's going to be in there. And for Jenna and Shiloh, I mean, really, like, give him some Tenactin or something.
Just wait. Wait till you hear what we have coming up for this. This is going to be one gross show.
Will Dennis be wearing a scuba mask?
No. Dennis will be wearing simply his Speedo. Speedo.
Fantastic.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hi, call 100.
Right, yes you are. What's your name, please?
My name's James.
James, where are you from?
Ocean City, Maryland.
James, listening on good old WETT, right?
Yeah.
You ready to go for tens in the building today?
Uh-huh.
Let's say $5,000.
Oh, my
Great.
God.
You ready to go for $5,000?
Yes, I am.
Have you heard the secret celebrity laugh?
Yes, I have.
If you can identify the name of the person laughing in the clip we will play momentarily, you will win 5,000 American dollars. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Mike, you will be singing like
Georgia Frontier.
And we wish you
Godspeed. Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
There is the laugh. We will give you 15 seconds with our spooky music to think about it. For $5,000, please don't answer until Mike sings like Georgia Frontier.
Yes.
$5,000. Who is that?
Is it Gina Davis?
Would you please repeat that?
Archery princess Gina Davis.
No.
We're sorry.
No, good guess, though. Don't forget that every guess is
a clue for you.
For you. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
You gave me a funny little look there.
I like playing the game with you, Mike.
You do.
I do.
Can I tell you just one commercial that I loved on the Super Bowl that I forgot to tell you about? It was the Money Out the Wazoo commercial where they, and you would have loved this commercial. It's I think another one of the E-Trade ads that they have a guy coming into the emergency room and he's on a gurney. He's down on a gurney. So you know something's going on.
On Hal Gurney?
Yeah. Hal Gurney.
Letterman director?
No, on the gurney. And you see it's a bald, of course it's a bald guy. Bald guy's on TV. And it's a guy and they take him in. What's the problem? What's the matter? And they show the guy's going back towards his butt, and they're lifting out. It's like, yes, it's just what I suspected. He has money coming out the wazoo. And then they take him up into a special operating room, and they're sitting down. Hey, what's your insurance? And the doctor's over there, and he's sitting there. He's like, got a dollar bill on his face. And he doesn't need insurance. He's got money coming out the wazoo. And it's all basically, you know, without showing anything, it's money out the wazoo. That was another funny commercial.
Was the money brown?
No, I didn't see it. No, it wasn't brown. They had a close-up of a brown dollar.
Well, I don't know if it came from Rudy.
It might have been a kaleidoscope of color.
From Rudy's underpants.
A sunset.
Okay, listen, the weekend in Atlanta.
Yes.
With the Super Bowl. You left, and all the great stuff happened.
That's the way it's always been.
But you left so fast, you didn't even stick around long enough for any of the good stuff.
I wasn't going to the game, and so when I saw the ice storm, I wanted to get the hell out of town.
Okay, let me drop some names, okay? Well, I'll start with a pretty good name. Mel Karmazin.
Huzzah!
The president of CBS and our boss.
You're here.
Our boss.
Yeah.
Wow.
This was an interesting moment. On Saturday, when I was walking around the hotel down by the press area, big crowded room, thousands of people, and all of a sudden I hear, hey! I turn around.
Don't see me?
Hey!
I come over. I go, oh!
Right.
The boss, Big Daddy.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's like you get a lump in your throat when you. I mean, he's the big boss.
I go up and I say hi, and he says, "What? Don't you say hello to me?" Now, I hadn't seen him,
mm-hmm.
and you know, our relationship with him has always been very one-sided.
Yes,
he talks, we listen.
Kind of the way it works, you know.
The big thing he says to us all the time is, "What haven't I done for you?"
That's right.
So he's standing there with his daughter and his son, who are both blessed with his good looks.
Excellent. Very good.
So he introduces me like I am a piece of meat.
Oh.
I'm standing there making small talk with him, and he realizes that he has not introduced me to his daughter or to his son.
Right.
He says, doesn't say my name, doesn't say this is one of the most talented people. Here's how he says, this is the most highest paid disc jockey in Washington, D.C.
Oh, God. That doesn't surprise me.
This is the highest paid disc jockey in Washington, D.C. Here he is right here. Do you think he's worth it? You should know what I pay this guy. So then I go, yeah, well, yeah, your dad pays me a very reasonable salary.
Oh, God.
But I think that we make some money for your dad. Oh, now with the salary I pay this guy. I tell you. This guy, the highest paid disc jockey, that's all he's saying, right? So I'm standing there, make a little small talk about Ken,
yep.
Make a little small talk about some other stuff. Mm-hmm. Then he says to me, hey, where'd you get that thing around your neck? This is the press credential. Mm-hmm. I said, I got it back there at the press area. He says, take my son, get him one of those.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
I go, okay. Right? I mean, smell.
Right. Sure, right.
The biggest of the big cheese.
Yeah. He kind of says, do it. You go get it done.
Right. I mean, you were talking about the ass moochers before. I'm first in that line.
Absolutely. So you have to kind of pry yourself away. Okay, I'm going.
I turn and I'm walking away with Mel's kid. And I think the first thing I said is, I'm like, well, your dad's a great guy. Something like that. And I hear from behind now. I have no idea how I'm going to get Mel's kid.
Of course.
The press credential, okay?
Probably immediately feeling overwhelming pressure, though.
Yeah,
that's
like,
that
oh
whatever.
God.
If you have to rip it off someone else's neck, you're going to do it.
He's given me a job to do, and I have
right.
to do this for his kid. As we're just about out of eye shot, all of a sudden I hear, hey! And we both turn around, his kid and me, and he says, don't forget your New Year's resolution. Don't get me in any trouble. And I looked at the kid, and the kid looked at me, and I yelled back, and I said, who are you talking to? And he said, I'm talking to you.
Yeah, he thought he was talking to his son.
Yeah, he said, okay.
Oh, that's funny.
And we went, the two of us, you know, arm in arm, went pounding into the media center.
And he got the job done.
Yeah, darned if I didn't get him that wonderful press credential.
Well, you told me how you did it. That was what I asked you in the office today. I said, how did you do it? You said you used his name.
Yeah.
Sure. Which is the one, you know, that's the best way to do it.
I said, this is a... Mr. Carmen's son.
Bingo.
He would like a press credential. They said, there you go.
Right away, sir.
And then I had one other Mel moment that I'll tell you about. When, after I got the credential for his son, I'd come back out, you know, like a dog that has successfully gotten a newspaper for his master.
Right.
And I was looking for the pat on the head. So I come out, and Mel, our boss, is still in small talk with people, and I'm in the group. I'm one of the people in the group, and he's not yet acknowledged the fact that I did this task for him. So
you're waiting for your reward. You're waiting for your pat on the head.
Which incidentally never came.
You're waiting for your biscuit.
It never came. I never got my treat.
But, which, you know, that's not unusual either.
But I'm standing there, and there's the conversation going on, and I'm feeling like a player, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm standing there with Mel and these other big shots. Andy Rooney walks up. Now, we had seen Andy Rooney. I think we talked about this on our show last week.
There's some weird, like, karmic energy between us and Andy Rooney. We always bump into him.
We had seen Andy Rooney maybe five times. He came walking up. He walks right in the middle of this group of people and interrupts Mr. Carmazin. And says, hi, how are you? Here's a look. Hi, Andy, how are you? Turns his back on him. And continues to talk to everybody else.
Yeah.
And I stood there and watched this. If Andy Rooney stood there for a second, and then finally it's like the light bulb went off.
Mm.
Hey, I'm being blown off.
Right.
And he turned and walked away.
Yeah, the curmudgeon thing doesn't work with our fearless leader.
And as I'm standing there laughing at this, I slowly realize, while I'm laughing at this in my head, the same thing is happening to me. Because now the backs are turned away from me.
There you go.
And suddenly
I'm standing there by myself.
Were you able to acknowledge who the other players were, or were they nondescript executives of some sort?
Guys in suits.
Guys in suits.
I didn't know who they were.
Lots of guys in suits.
Just guys in suits.
It's like the guy that walked in the other night at Rudy's party. Remember that? When I would say, excuse me, and then he was introduced as the host of the host, and then gave us a look like we're supposed to know that. No, you're a guy in a suit.
Who the hell knows? Who the hell knows?
So you never got the props for delivering the goods.
No, but
it will be remembered.
I consider it a prop that I was not fired.
Mm-hmm.
That the first thing he didn't say to me is, you know what, do you still work for me?
You're fired. He's aware of it. It's a scary thing. You know, a man that powerful supervising all of this radio and TV empire, you would think wouldn't be aware of all the little guys underneath him. He's aware of everybody.
And Saturday night, there was a CBS party.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about this, in which Kevin James got up and did a little monologue. Well, I got our neighbors, Mike and Buddy, I got them tickets to this thing. They got into this thing on Saturday night. I heard from more than one person that this was Mel's monologue when he stood up in front of, I guess, a couple thousand people at the CBS Super Bowl party. He stood up and said, hi, I want to thank you for coming. Wait, why am I thanking you? I've paid $20 million for all of you to be here.
Oh!
That was it.
That's it.
And then he said, have a good night.
It's a charming style.
And then,
in its own abrupt way.
Yes. Then Kevin came out and had to perform.
Oh, man. Kevin, who is... He's the company man, isn't he?
I heard he didn't exactly slay him.
Oh, really?
I heard it wasn't his best set of comedy he's ever done.
Oh, man. Well, he does what he's asked. I mean, he is he's Mr. CBS.
Mm-hmm. I bet we'll be able to ask him about it in a second. Okay, so that was really... That was, if you can understand,
right,
the highest moment for me.
You know, bumping into the big guy.
A moment with the big guy.
Sure.
All of the other names will be afterthoughts that I throw out at you now.
But there's certainly, you know, as it gets closer to game time, there's certainly more and more luminaries that descend upon the Super Bowl city.
Right, and what I'm amazed is the famous people who would, like Joe Theismann I mentioned, who would latch on to me, not because they're particularly fond of me, but because... They've just got to have somebody to latch on to.
Sure, and if they know you and they know that you, you know, like them and then respect them.
So that they are not walking around waiting to be spotted.
Sure.
Instead, they're talking to somebody while waiting to be spotted.
That's the way it works.
Your starting point.
And I realized after I'd been passed off about 10 times on Saturday, that's all I was. I'm walking around the lobby and famous people in the sports world.
But, you know, much like the young hooker, you don't mind being passed around.
No, not at all.
The first time, right?
No.
I'm pretty sure if it was like 3 days of that, you might get a little tired and sore. But, I mean, you know, for now, it's new.
And I didn't even mind when, you know, you're talking to somebody, and it was that guy Ron Jaworski.
Yep.
Jaws. So he comes up to me, says, hi, how are you? The whole time looking at my name tag like you do at a cocktail party, mm-hmm. right? He looks at the name tag, and I see him realize...
Now, did Jaworski come up to you
yes.
as a handoff? Was he?
No.
Were you with somebody, or did he come up to you?
I had just come out of the gift shop, and he walked up to me and said, hey! And I see him look at my name tag. Don, nice to see you again. I shake his hands. While I'm shaking his hands...
He's got a good memory. That's good.
Look, I've got a name tag on.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, with my picture and my name on.
So he's looking at the name tag before he looks at your face?
Right, no. He sees me. It's like he recognizes me. Then he goes, hi. And I see the eyes go down, and he reads the tag.
Okay.
Then the eyes come back up. Don, nice to see you again. While he's doing this, his head is on a goddamn swivel.
Sure.
Where he's talking to me. He's going, how you doing? So what are you down here? What do you think? Who do you think is going to win the game today? Huh? Yeah, looks good, looks good.
Oh, I hate that.
Not listening to a word I'm saying.
Yeah, it's almost something that's, you know, certain people, there are degrees of that, because you can't help having it on a swivel when you're looking at all those people going around. But it sounds like he was pretty blatant about it.
He was. But on the other hand, I'll tell you who was very sincere was a guy that I couldn't get rid of, was Charlie Casserly, the guy that used to be general manager of the Redskins.
And isn't he the new Houston franchise?
New general manager of Houston. Bart and I, again, were having breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Casserly came walking through the restaurant. He said, hey, hello. Nice to see you. Sat down. Had breakfast with us. I couldn't get rid of the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't there looking to be spotted with anybody.
Right.
He's just generally a very nice, pleasant guy.
Did the subject of you becoming assistant GM of the new Houston franchise...
Didn't bring it up. Now, I do have to tell you about a meeting
with Bonnie Bernstein after our show at Rudy's house.
Okay.
This was on Friday night when Bart and I were at the some commissioner's party, a big, big executive party that Rudy got us tickets to.
Mm-hmm.
We were walking around. Mr. Ed was there. Randy Cross was there. Jerry Glanville was there. Jeff Bostic came up and asked me how come we didn't have him on the show on Thursday night.
Sorry.
Aye, aye, aye.
Right.
I didn't even say anything on the air about how Jeff Bostic's wife was just talking my ear off in the corner. And to her credit, I'll say this about Jeff Bostic's wife. He's a guy who used to play for the Redskins.
Right.
She doesn't like our show at all.
That's nice.
But at least I can appreciate the fact that she's upfront about it.
Mm-hmm.
I admire that about her.
Right.
She was stuck at Rudy's party with me in a corner. Right. She said, how are you?
Were you upfront about the fact that you don't like her?
No.
Okay, I was just checking.
No, I wasn't. I was just talking with her, and she said,
right.
You know, Jeff and I have moved to Atlanta now. He's going to pursue opportunities down here because, frankly, he felt that the opportunities back at home were just going to other people. You know, back when the Redskins were on WMAL, that was a great time to be involved with the Redskins. And frankly, now that they're on WJFK, well, it's just, you know, I mean, your show, while I understand it's popular, I just, it's tasteless. I can't listen to it.
Thank you!
But the whole time, like, touching me on the elbow and stuff, you know, like she's my buddy.
Like the beauty queen, doing acid.
The magnolia queen, you know.
Thank you. You know, I'm going to have to stab you in the heart with an ice pick. You don't mind that, do you? Thank you.
I've had all kinds of people say to me that they listen to your show. And I always say, I just don't know why. I mean, but the one thing that Jeff admires about you is even though he does not like your show, you're a winner.
Oh, God.
Jeff likes winners.
Oh, God.
When Jeff played for the Redskins, Jeff was a big winner. So I go through
can you hand me that cocktail weenie so I can gag myself
with
it?
I go through the thing with her at Rudy's party, and then the next night, he comes up to me. And he's like, hey, how you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. How come you didn't have me on your show? And I didn't have a comeback for him.
Right.
I just said, ran out of time. Sorry about that, buddy.
Too busy going through Rudy Marcy's hamper.
And as I turned, because at that point I was using Jeff Bostic the same way Ron Jaworski had used me, I saw Bonnie Bernstein.
Now, how was Bonnie looking?
If you thought she was hot at the party on Thursday night,
right,
you should have seen her at this party on Friday night.
Really?
Where she had on a black full-length dress. Very, very trampy top, like a lingerie type top.
You would think you would use another word to describe her outfit.
Well, wouldn't you? Hold on. The outfit that she had on at Rudy's house. Didn't you think that the top she had on was trampy that night?
No, I thought it was tasteful and beautiful.
Oh, please! It looked like lingerie.
I thought it was lovely. It was sexy. It was dead sexy.
Well, here's the conversation I had with her.
Dead sexy.
I see her and I go, hi. I go, hi, remember me? She goes, well, of course I do. You were just on your knees in front of me last night.
Oh, there you go.
I said, listen, I hope you know, I don't mean anything by this. Blah, blah, blah. We're having a conversation. She looks at me right in the eye. I swear to God, she says, can I tell you something if you promise you won't be offended by it? I said, you know what? You can say anything to me. Go ahead.
Okay.
She said, you really need a breath mint.
Oh!
Oh, man.
Oh.
I died.
Had you had a cigar right yet?
Yeah, I had a cigar on the way over.
Oh, my God.
I died. Oh, I absolutely friggin' died.
Oh, that's just like...
And then right away,
That's like somebody shooting you with a fire hose.
Right, and I start doing that.
Oh, God. What do you do at that moment?
And then I waited for her to say, like, huh, gotcha. But she didn't.
And how do you... what the hell do you say?
I laughed. I said, I'm sorry if my breath has offended you. And then she said, I think there are pieces of mint on the table over there.
Oh, my God.
And I realized that she's not just busting my chops. Apparently, I really had, like, death breath.
So
I said, well, okay. Hopefully, the next time I see you, I will have fresher breath.
Oh, my
and
God.
And of all the people to have that happen
she
with.
She said, I hope so. And then I never saw her again. She's gone. Absolutely gone.
Boy, but at least you're bumping into lots of people.
Here's someone who was very nice, Peyton Manning.
Oh, really?
The
quarterback of the Colts.
And what I would believe would be the next megastar in the NFL.
Yeah, very nice guy. Spent some time talking to Bart, gave him an autograph.
Oh,
could not have been a nicer guy.
A valuable autograph to get.
Okay. The biggest dicks?
Mm-hmm.
NSYNC.
The boys group.
Right. We were
the
at
little boys group.
Right. We were at the place where they had the NFL experience, where you throw a football through tires and stuff. We were there before it opened up,
mm-hmm.
where they have the press in and they have people from Coca-Cola. Well, NSYNC was going to be on TRL, on MTV. They were doing a whole big thing there.
Right.
And these pricks from NSYNC, they were lip-syncing, going through what they were going to be doing on the show.
Uh-huh.
So they were standing on a stage, and they were doing their queer dance steps. And while they were lip-syncing, the microphones were hot.
Okay.
So they're going... The stupid record's playing, and you hear them...
Just for the benefit of the guy that was giggling during the Christopher Reeve commercial, that means the microphones were on.
Right, right.
Okay, just wanted to clear that
up. Yeah, not that they were physically hot, scalding their hands.
They weren't burning their hands. I just wanted to make that clear for him.
Good. So they're doing their dance steps, and while the record is playing and they're pretending to be singing, doing the dances, they're actually saying on microphone, "Oh, this sucks. I'm so tired, I wish we weren't here today. Oh, man, do you believe we have to do this? Oh, I'm so hungry. I wish we could do something else." And meanwhile, there are like maybe 500 girls who are standing on the outskirts of this fenced-in area.
Mm-hmm.
And these poor girls, most of them fat and pimply-faced, they are holding up signs that say, like, whatever these queer boys' names are, Jason, whatever, Jason, I love you. Some girl brought a plate of cookies,
right?
And as they're dancing around, she goes, "Cookie, I brought you cookies." And he looks right at her and he says,
"Looks like you've eaten a few of those yourself."
And this girl, poor girl, she is crushed.
Yeah.
She's just crushed. But 2 seconds later, she's over it because we hear her say, "He looked at me. He talked to me."
And then she shoved 4 or 5 more cookies into her
mouth. She was a big, big one. I mean, this guy said it right on the microphone, right through her face.
Yeah, and they've got, an uphill battle, don't you think? I mean, a group like NSYNC anyway. Yeah, you'd like them to be
the Backstreet Boys laugh at NSYNC. I mean, they're the lowest on the boy group food chain. So they got done doing their rehearsal. And then they said, while they've still got their microphones on, now they have microphones that are clipped to their collars. And, of course, they know the microphones are on.
Right.
And there's still about 500 girls watching them.
Mm-hmm.
They said, "Hey, man, what do you want to do? You want to go back to the room?" "No, man. Let's play some ball." So what they started doing was, I got a football, and they started throwing the football. And there's nothing more pathetic than watching these guys, because the one guy, Rob, threw like you. I took Rob to the NFL experience.
Yes.
Rob and I did the game where you take a football, you take 5 steps back, and you try to throw it through a hole about 30 yards down the field.
Right.
Sometimes you really want to laugh. You got to see Rob Spiewak trying to throw a football. I mean, it's funny, but one of these boys from NSYNC threw worse than Rob. The one guy in NSYNC, the guy that had a ski cap on, I don't know which one it is, he throws and it's like off the side of his arm and it just, the ball just kind of like a dead duck falls. Some of the little girls laugh.
Right.
And he turns around and he goes, "That's so funny. You think anything's funny? That's it. We're out. Let's go." And they got up and they left.
Wonderful boys.
That's what a bunch of jerks.
Yeah, well, let's see. God, who needs them?
Then NSYNC gets done, and who comes out next but Carson Daly?
Former boyfriend of...
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Jennifer, and she dumped him, right?
He comes out for his mic check. And why the girls are going crazy for him, I don't know.
They
but
do, though.
He comes out, and he goes like, "Hello, Atlanta! Giving up some love for TRL! Oh, yeah!" And these girls are going nutty. They're squirming and they're squealing with delight.
Anybody throwing cookies at him?
No. The only thing that Carson Daly did was, as he walked off, he just took the microphone. He said, "That's it. Check's over." Threw the microphone down on the ground and just walked out.
Like he's a rock star.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, he's a DJ with pictures.
Like he's Bruce Springsteen. He just, "That's it. This mic check is
over. You were just, and you're watching them hating the whole thing the whole time.
Correct.
But loving to hate them, right?
Yes.
Loving, enjoying the hatred that you're feeling for them.
Just super pricks they were.
Absolutely. So, I'm just going to get up to the game, and then I'm going to be done telling you about it.
Okay.
I just had one moment from the game that had nothing to do with a celebrity or anything else. We were sitting in the upper deck, and if you're watching the game yesterday, we were right above the Rams end zone, the yellow end zone. We had good seats. We were two rows from the front. Excellent seats. We're loving it. There's a guy in front of me. Now, a lot of people had cameras. A lot of people take pictures like of the stupid halftime show.
That's why you see
like
the whole thing exploding at one point with flashbulbs.
And they sell those little portable cameras. They're more power to you.
Yeah, but the same place Rudy gets his.
This guy, though, in front of us, the guy had a lens that was like, how big is that, a foot maybe?
Yeah, let's say about a foot.
This guy had
one of those super telephoto lenses.
Right. And not to mention that the camera itself was also very tall.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a very tall camera with a very long
still
lens.
Camera or video camera?
Still camera.
Uh-huh.
Around his neck, he had a bag, which was full of stuff to put on the end of the lens and all this film and junk.
Right.
Well, I didn't mind when this guy stood up with this big-ass camera taking pictures during the pregame, like of the fireworks going off. When the game started, when the Rams would be moving towards the end zone that we were in, when finally we could see what was happening on the field, this nerd with his camera would stand up and take pictures.
Now, was he in the front row of the upper deck?
Front row of the upper deck.
So with a well-placed, pushed to the middle of the back.
Yeah, he would have been over.
You would have sent him plummeting to his death.
And he was doing this thing where he turned the camera sideways and clicked. You know, like when Austin Powers goes,
right.
Yeah, baby, give me more, yeah.
And was his ass at your eye level?
No. It was not his ass. It was the fact I couldn't see.
Because he was just putting his elbows out.
Yeah, because the guy had his arms up, and then even when he would move to the side, there was this big, gigantic thing in my face, and finally I tapped him on the shoulder.
Are you aware of what a 16-ounce soft drink could do to a valuable piece of camera equipment?
Mike, there was no room for a 16-ounce soft drink. Because they pack them in like on the Titanic in that stadium. I mean, really.
Sure.
Just a big pile of sweaty, swelly humans. And this guy, out of all of them, is the guy that's in front of me.
Was he a man of larger carriage?
No, real skinny guy.
Okay.
So I tap him on the shoulder. And I said, hey, excuse me. I said, would you mind? He said, hey, I bought a ticket. I got a camera. I'm here to film the game. I whipped out my press pass. I said, excuse me, I'm with the press. If you have a camera that big and you're here to take pictures, you should have one of these. And at that point, I hear this.
Oh, really?
From some people behind me.
Good. He was buying everybody else's.
Yeah. So then, you know what he does? He says, that's fine. I'll go get one. I said, good. Go get one. And I swear to God, the guy left. The guy left. This was halfway through the second quarter. He never came back.
That was a pretty good ending. The dream ending, of course, would have been, you're absolutely right. And then he jumps over the other.
I wish.
And he ends his own life. I'm mortified. No!
I wish. Well, what a pain in the ass this guy was. Standing up with his big telephoto like he is some big-time photographer.
Probably taking him for his scrapbook at home.
And then that's what I think he said. I'm going to get one of those right now. I said, good.
Yeah, they're right next to the beer stand.
I said, good. The press booth is on the bottom level. He said, okay, I'll be back. I said, okay, see ya. And what that meant was for the rest of the game, I was able to use his spot as a footrest.
You don't know. You didn't know, though. You didn't know the fact of that. You know whose tickets those were? That way, the person you were having the argument with, that was Mr. Carmazon's other son.
Impossible, Mike. He didn't have the good look.
Okay. Of course not.
He didn't have the trademark chiseled features.
Something caught in my throat.
Okay, yeah. That's all I had for you.
Sounds like it was a pretty good weekend.
Oh, Barney and I had a great time.
You guys always do, and I know he gets real excited about it.
We had a great time. We just had one small meltdown yesterday at the game. Just one tiny meltdown.
You and your son had one meltdown?
Yeah, well, it was me having a meltdown at him.
Oh, really?
Because
too much weekend?
Well, we've been going on about 4 hours sleep Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. We're at the game on Sunday. And he says, Dad, would you get me some nachos? I said, absolutely. Get up at it's a pain in the ass to get up at a stadium, make everybody else get up.
Oh, absolutely.
I go, I wait in line. They give me the nachos on this gigantic foam rubber tray. I feel like a moron walking back with this. I make it all the way through all the people in the stands. I sit down, I go, here's your nachos. And he looks at me, he goes, oh, you
should know I'm a vegetarian.
Because they put meat on the nachos? And at that point, and he is. He has been a vegetarian for over a year now. He doesn't eat meat.
Right.
I just got so mad at him. I was just sat there. I said, okay, you know what? Fine. Just fine. I was just dying to say F you, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because he's my son. I said, fine. I said, that's fine. I tell you what. You give me the ones with meat on them. There's plenty of them without meat on them. He said, but Dad, I think they come without meat. I said, I just got up to go get you those stupid nachos, and this is how you thank me.
Right.
But I'm a vegetarian.
Okay.
and that was when we had a moment.
Tough for a vegetarian at the Super Bowl, isn't it?
No, it's not when you have ice cream and, and you have...
Well, that comes out of a cow, so that doesn't get... I'm just thinking...
Frozen lemonade.
I'm thinking lettuce.
Pizza.
Pizza, that's right. Pizza can be eaten by a vegetarian.
All kinds of them. At that point, I had just...
Yeah.
I'd had it up to there. So we had our little moments.
Of course, you're also bumping into each other in that little hotel room, too. I mean,
lots of quality time together.
Even though he's a boy and you're a grown man, I mean, that's pretty close quarters.
A very tiny man, or rather a very tiny room for a very large man.
I would imagine that Sunday morning, that room, probably not the best smelling room in the whole world.
Oh, and Mike, because they were having the ice storm, unavailable to give room service. Rather not like delivering food to your room, but they weren't able to clean up the rooms on either Saturday or Sunday. So finally on Sunday, I said to Bart, I said, why don't we at least attempt to make the bed in here?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we take some of this trash out of this room?
Right.
He said, why?
Right.
I said, because we're in this room like 20 hours a day. So we made the bed, but like there was crumbs in the bed and stains in the bed.
But these are lifetime memories. These are memories he will cherish for his whole life.
I believe so.
He won't forget these things. No. I mean, I remember going to games with my father was the best memories I ever had with my dad. And remember forever.
We had the best time ever. Like I said, the only problem was just that little episode of the game yesterday. Mm-hmm. There was a little episode on Saturday night about homework.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, it was fine. Oh, and Rob Spiewak and I had our first ever two-martini lunch together.
Attaboy. Oh, so you went back to the martinis.
Yes. On Friday, the three of us, Bart, myself, and Rob, decided that the company would buy us lunch at the famous Palm Restaurant in Atlanta.
You know I would have been there with you if I wasn't in my zeal to get out of town. I would have been there with you.
We sat down. I ordered a martini. Rob said, you know what? I've never had a martini. I think I'll have one, too.
Right.
And
did Rob also order your entree, the same entree that you had, too?
Pretty close. And before the end of the afternoon, it was a two-martini lunch.
And how were the martinis, gentlemen?
Oh, they were delicious. They were really, really good.
Rob was telling me that there was a rather prominently featured but a caricature of Rudy Martsky when he went into the restaurant.
I mean, talk about placement. Bruce Martsky's face is the first face you see when you walk into the Palm Restaurant.
I think it speaks to the status of Atlanta as one of America's greatest cities.
And I made a point. It's like everybody that served us that night, all the waiters and the waitresses, when they came by, said, you know that guy, Rudy Martsky, his picture out there? We looked at his underpants yesterday. And I told more than one person about the Vaseline and the lubricants. That story really made the way around the town of Atlanta this weekend.
I tell you right now, and I got feedback on that show over the weekend. People were telling me that, you know, as much fun as we had doing it, they had fun listening to it all.
I never would have thought that out of all the stuff at a Super Bowl, the best bit we would have would be going through Rudy's hamper and through his nightstand.
You know, all we have to do now for all of our Super Bowl shows, we just go to different people's houses. Oh, and don't let them know we're coming. You know, just head right for the hamper.
Oh, and did we mention that Howie Long's teeth are definitely capped? I don't know if we ever mentioned that on the radio or not.
But isn't it pretty cool that we were talking to a Hall of Famer and we didn't realize it at the time? You know,
he was a jerk to us, though.
I see. You know what my problem was that night of that show? I did not know what he had done to you. I did not see witness day, but apparently it was the...
I put my hand out.
And he ignored it.
He would not shake my hand.
Oh, dear.
Big ol'... Regis Philbin captain.
The cold and flu season, though.
Howie Long, I don't think he had no worries about my germs. But really, didn't you notice how big and fake his teeth were?
Yes.
He's gigantic.
Yes, I hate him.
I'm not asking for your blanket hatred.
I wish I'd seen what he did. He did something horrible to you.
Simply an acknowledgement about his gigantic, fake George Washington teeth.
His teeth, seriously, it looked like I was looking at a whole key piano key set.
All right, now you're patronizing.
kidding me. Let's break. We'll be right back.
I was just looking at this thing in the newspaper about the ad meter.
Yeah.
How they found out which commercials people like the best.
How do they do that?
A little knob. And people turn the knob when they watch the TV.
A little nipple?
No, a knob.
A knob.
A knob. They turn the meter, turn the knob. Let me see. The ad meter. I'd like to know if anybody listening to the show participated, because it was 273 adults in New York, Chicago, and Sacramento.
Is that how they figured out that the Budweiser one with the dog running into the van was the best?
That's how they charted their second-by-second reaction to ads during the Super Bowl. Opinions of Sacramento, Chicago, and New York chose the volunteers. Murray Hill Center in Chicago, Schlesinger Associates in New York, and Opinions, which I guess is a company in Sacramento.
Opinions sounds like a research company.
Mm. Selected the volunteers who used handheld meters to register how much they liked each ad.
If I understand it, it works like the Q rating system that they did before. The more you like the commercial, the more you turn it in one direction, and the more you hated the commercial, the more you turn it in the other direction.
Now, that sounds to me like that Jive Radio research that I did, because you get good results maybe for the first 10 seconds before people are bored with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think if you're watching something for 3 hours, by the time the third hour comes, you just go,
sure.
Hate it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, hate it.
The interest in general wanes, especially with the game going on. You know, how about that company, though, Opinions? Hi, my name's John Anal Column of Opinions.
Nice to see you. We're going to be doing the research today.
Except the Christopher Reeve ad. Hilarious.
Yes, according to that one caller. We were confused.
My boyfriend was giggling.
We were confused.
Giggling. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, Radio God.
Hi there.
Hi, this is Kira calling from Spokane, Washington.
Yes, hello, Kira.
Hi, dear.
I don't have a knob, but the reason I'm calling is about Howie Long.
What about Howie Long?
Well, do you remember about a year ago, I think, you took a call from a lady who said that she saw him naked in Playgirl?
I don't remember that. Do you remember Howie Long being naked in Playgirl?
We may have gotten that call and brushed it off, very quickly, but that was the old us.
Well, I was hoping you would have asked him if he was really long, you know?
Oh, you mean, now, did the woman comment on Howie's prowess?
Yes.
His length?
Generally, though, when they get celebrity men to pose in Playboy, don't they pose, like, with their hands over their crotches?
Well, when I posed, they gave me the option. They said you can either pose with your hand there, or you can pose with your hands, up in the air. And what I ended up was I did a, kind of a yoga pose like
this,
and I was in the lotus position.
I remember that.
And then the shadows, because the shadows obscured what was down there.
See, when I did mine,
my Ken doll like appendage.
When I did mine, I just bent over like I was hiking a football.
I thought it was a great shot, too. Especially, how did they, was it like almost like Orson Welles used to do in Citizen Kane, where they had the photographer actually get in underneath the floor so they could get that reel looking up? And that was,
that way you really hide the twig and berries.
That's amazing.
I don't care if everybody sees that, the bad place. I just didn't want my genitals to be shown.
It was that was the rule for both of us when we posed. Playgirl.
No genitals. Hello, Don and Mike show.
They did it to me again. May I talk to Charlie?
They did it to you again?
Yes.
Who is they and what is
Peeny.
They? Who is this? Jeff Bostic's wife?
It's Peeny.
Who would that be talking to the background, darling?
It's my little brother.
Your little brother?
Mm-hmm.
This is Penny, remember from last week?
Penny.
Charlie's friend?
Jeff doesn't like your show, but I'll tell you why he admires you. Because you're a winner. You're a winner, just like Jeff was when he played with the Redskins.
Oh, Penny didn't want to stay in play. No.
I remember her now. That was Charlie's phone call from last week, right?
That's the one.
Right. My name is Penny.
P-I-N-N-Y.
Penny. And, of course, you remember Buzz posed nude in Boys Life magazine.
Yeah. That was, I tell you, that was an incredible layout, too. I mean, did somebody cut the shorts at the knee?
No, I tore those myself.
Very cool.
Yeah. Hello, big crotchless Boy Scout shorts.
I fish you. It's amazing what he did with the compass.
Hello, Mike.
Hi. I just want to let you know, there is some really stupid on Cartoon Network. They do this
soccer. You didn't find something intellectually pleasing on Cartoon Network.
How old are you, sir?
I am 22.
You have any kids?
No.
That's good that you're watching that at 22.
Well, what else are you going to do when you got no job?
That's for sure.
And you live at home.
Proud 4% and a big loser to boot.
Absolutely. And that's amazing. Are you between your first job by any chance?
No.
Do you understand what that means?
No.
That's a line that was given to me by a college friend of mine who said that to me when I bumped into him like 2 years after we graduated. And I said, how you doing? He said, well, I'm still between my first job.
Right.
Think it through. Do you get it?
See if you can figure it out. He said, I'm between my first job.
Well, what does that mean?
Like, I don't know.
No. Come on, please.
Maybe.
Come on now. Really? Think it through.
Mike sees this guy, says, how you doing? The guy said, I'm between my first job.
And I'll give you even more explanation, okay? When somebody loses one job, they say, I'm between jobs.
Oh, so looking for a new job.
What's that?
What?
Looking for a new job?
No!
But try again. Okay, here's the setup. Mike and I will play actors for you. Okay. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how you doing, Don?
I'm doing great, and you?
Not too good.
Why?
I'm between my first job.
Okay, explain it to us.
I'm sorry, I'm a freak.
No, you're not doing. You're showing very little initiative. You're not making any effort to figure this out. And we're going to stay here all day if we have to.
Cocktail party sound effect, Robbie. Hold on.
Until you figure it out.
I'll make a little play for you.
Watch.
You don't even have to worry about it. This is Mike and I at a Super Bowl party over the weekend. Watch this. Hey, is that you, Mike?
Hey, Don, how are you, man?
Hey, buddy, long time. High five.
What's up?
Oh, what's new, man? I've seen you for, 10 years?
I haven't seen you since graduation, man. How you doing? I understand. I think I heard you on the radio. You got a good radio thing going.
Fantastic. Got a big career going, 50 cities. Listen, what about you? What are you doing?
Oh, man, I haven't really done anything since college.
Really? What are you doing now?
Well, I'm between my first job.
Now, come on now. You're not this stupid, really.
You're really not this dumb, but you know what it is? It's lack of effort.
No, you're not
making any effort to try to noodle it through.
What do you think it might mean when a guy says, I'm between my first job?
See, I'll tell you something. I'm going to go even one step further, okay? When you're between jobs...
Can we get to play act again?
You know, we use the two different methods of instruction here. You use the Socratic method, of course. What I'm doing is just spell it out for the guy, but, you know, it's not worth it.
Hold on, one more time. This time we meet in a hospital.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, Mike, what are you doing in a hospital?
I just had several feet of my intestines removed.
I'm a brain surgeon. Did you know that?
Really? So you actually went into brain surgery right after college, huh?
Yeah, boy, it's been at least 10 years of this. And you, what have you been doing?
You know, right after graduation, I was out looking for work.
Yeah?
And I ended up having this problem with my intestine. And the funny thing is, I never found employment during the entire 10 years.
Violation.
Oh, I don't know.
Violation.
Oh, not by a long shot.
You're making it too easy for him now.
Not by a long shot.
You're assuming he'll understand what Mike just said.
Right.
All right.
Okay, you can continue the Socratic method.
Okay. So what have you been doing the last 10 years while I've been brain surgery?
Well, to be honest with you, things haven't been good, you know. If I can be honest with you, I'm between my first job.
Perhaps you cannot poop.
You were thinking I gave it away when I knew there wasn't a snowball's chance in hell that I would give it away.
I am from Waldorf.
Listen, you're not that stupid.
You're not making enough of an effort.
I'm trying my ass.
What does the statement mean?
Okay.
I'm between my first job.
I will tell you, it's a play on words. It's a joke.
Yes, I just don't get it.
Okay, this is not going to give it away to him. When you're between jobs, that means you've had one job and you're waiting for your next one.
Oh, listen.
No, trust me. Trust me.
What does it mean?
I don't know.
No, come on now. You're just pretending to be dumb.
No, he's not.
I'm not pretending. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm just stupid.
It's not going to be, if we tell him exactly what it is, somebody else is going to have to...
No. Okay, Mike and I are in Italy. We're in an Italian restaurant.
Okay.
Como bella c'è la luna mia.
Ciao. Hey. Ciao, my friends. Hey, Mike.
Hey,
what are you doing in Italy?
Oh, I borrowed $14,000 from my mother, who had $13,000 in the bank. And I decided that I'd spend the last 5 years in Italy, just to tour in the country, because I didn't have any money of my own.
I'm president of Gorilla Pasta.
Are you really?
Pasta.
Oh, congratulations. Hey, do you think there's any way that you could get me a gig over there?
Well, I'd need to know some of your resume. What have you been doing since I last saw you?
Oh, I'm between my first job.
Like right after college, looking for a job.
You're getting closer now.
You're getting warmer.
I'm between my first job.
If you were between your first job, that would mean...
All right, I'll give you one more. Mike and I are in the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa. Man, where's the Hilton? Christ, I can't believe it. I hate being outdoors like this. Oh, listen, don't be afraid of that nearly naked savage. That's my friend Mike.
Hey, Don.
Hey, Mike, I'm here on safari in Africa.
Oh, me live here. I'm Tarzan.
I'm living like Tarzan
because I don't have any money.
How is it that we were both at one point ready to attack the business world, yet now I'm here on safari and you're living with a bunch of monkeys?
Well, there is one simple reason for that, Don.
What is the reason, Mike?
I am between my first job.
No money?
What?
No money?
Gold again. Now, when you say no money, remember the last scenario. When I was in Italy, I had money. Remember that? Because I borrowed it from my
mom.
Wiping her out completely financially so I could travel to Italy. And you know why I did that? Because I was between my first job.
And don't forget, when Mike was in the hospital having the miles of intestines removed,
right,
he had not been able to work because of his surgery, meaning he was
between my first job. And when you say you're between your first job, that was the...
Hold on, let me bring someone else in on this.
Very good.
Tom Gavin.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Can you explain to this guy on the telephone what it means to be between your first job?
Your first job means, like...
No, Tom, to say, if I was to say to you, I'm between my first job, what does that mean?
Your first job.
Could you be more specific? I'm between my first job.
Watch it. You're looking for it. You're looking for your job.
You know, in his own little way, he's dangerously close.
You're very close. Tom,
I said the same thing.
Yeah, but you were dangerously close, too, but you really didn't get it.
I want to hear you guys think about this for a minute. Robbie, where's the Father Time thinking music? I want these two guys right now, Tom and... You, the dumbest man on the planet. What's your first name, sir?
The King of Waldorf.
The King of Waldorf.
All right, I want you guys to think about this. The two of you right now, I'm going to turn our microphones off. You just think about it.
See if you can, like, discuss it and figure out what it is.
What does it mean when someone says, I'm between my first job? Go ahead. Tom and the King of Waldorf. Go ahead.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
Do you have any idea?
Do you?
Nope. The only thing I was thinking is... Right after you lost your first job, looking for a new one.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of.
That's what it is.
No, it's not. Keep discussing, guys.
And can I, I'll throw something in here for you.
Yeah.
You see, if that was the case, no, I'm not going to say anything further.
Then you would be...
Help me.
You'll get fired on your first job, you go to your second job, and...
Well, then you would be between jobs.
Between jobs.
Right. So what does it mean if you are between your first job?
Unemployed.
And could you be more specific?
Unemployed, homeless?
No, unemployed, you're between first jobs.
Unemployed from your first job?
Yeah, you're, like you're, what do you call it? It's like, you're looking for another job.
When you said unemployed, sir, we need you to be a little more specific.
Fired?
No.
No?
Because
no.
To be fired...
Oh, be careful.
I know.
Be careful.
Because to be fired from a job, you...
If you were fired from a job, that would... You would assume the fact that...
You get laid off.
No. If you've been fired from a job... The only way you can be fired from a job is if you...
somebody.
Out of the mouths of babes. No.
Hey, listen to the King of Waldorf laughing his ass off, still clueless.
This question is just for the guy from Waldorf. You can't be fired from a job if...
You still work there?
No.
No. You couldn't ever be fired from a job if...
You never had one?
My God.
You've never...
Job.
Meaning I've never worked.
Yay.
Yeah, you did it.
Oh, I'm so happy.
After all that, you finally got it. Don't you feel proud that you worked it through?
Oh, now I don't have to shoot my head.
Shoot your head.
It's a friggin' breakthrough.
whatever you...
You know what I meant? It's an effing breakthrough. I'm trying to do it backwards.
Whatever you shot him, it would bounce off anyway.
Goodbye.
Oh.
Bye.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Bye. And bye, Tom.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I got a question.
What?
I like him with the Valentine's Day.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Hey,
no. No. No.
Yes.
No, Mike. We want people to come
hey,
to the show. No.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, Tom.
Where's Charlie at?
No, I don't want to do that with you today.
Bye, Tom.
Hey, guys.
What, dummy?
Can I tell you about what I originally called the call about?
No, cartoons?
It was no. John Madden and Pat Summerall.
Goodbye.
No.
Goodbye. Goodbye, both of you. Jesus Christ, we just wasted 10 minutes of network radio explaining to some guy what between my first job means.
That was no waste. I feel so satisfied that he figured it out on his own.
Damn it, Mike, I love acting with you.
I know, isn't it great? Doing the little not ready for prime time players.
But I had one more scenario ready.
What was that going to be?
We mean the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, hello.
Hey, Mike. Don, how are you? What are you? Jesus Christ, you smell like you haven't bathed in a month.
I've been over here for a long time. After I left Italy, I sold my mother's house. She is now homeless. But I am traveling the world.
What are you doing now?
Well, ever since we graduated 20 years ago, I have been between my first job.
Ah.
Hit somebody.
Yeah, because you hit somebody. Let's try to give away up to 10 grand.
Okay,
here we go. A little headier than between my first job.
Very good.
Give you the shot at winning up to $10,000 right now. Secret celebrity laugh number 3. Be the 100th person to call the Rockhead now on our toll-free line at 1-877-365-3636.
I still don't get it.
Funny commercials, Christopher Reeve, though.
He's the Don and Mike Show.
Looking forward to that show Wednesday night.
Where?
Bohegger's Las Vegas style show.
We ended
Baltimore. I'm going to ignore that picture you have on your forehead, Mike.
Is there something on my forehead?
There's a picture of a very handsome executive on your forehead.
It's a new picture, isn't it? That's why I put it on my forehead. Have you seen this one before? It looked like kind of a candid shot. That's why I clipped it out of the Crave periodical that I saw it in.
I think it is simply a color photo of the one that we've seen in black and white many times.
Oh, really?
I can't tell who that executive is from looking at the picture you have.
Let me see if I can get closer to you.
But I will tell you this. I bet he has lovely children. Whoever that handsome devil is.
I could not agree with you more. As a matter of fact, I want to peel it off and look at it myself. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Listen, before we get our caller 100,
mm-hmm.
I do want to give you a warning about the Valentine's Day show, okay?
Mm.
That we've come up with a format.
Yes.
In which we're going to be giving away a luxury entertainment spa, a hot tub,
mm-hmm.
valued at over $5,000 on Thanksgiving. On Thanksgiving. Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. Thanksgiving isn't for months.
Valentine's Day, 2 weeks from today.
Mm-hmm.
This contest involves... No nudity.
Okay.
But this contest is for ladies only. Ladies will have to be in bathing suits, preferably bikinis.
Okay.
in the hot tub, the spa, from Leisure Tubs, 361-5260, we will have Jenna Shiloh, two beautiful adult stars,
amen,
in teeny tiny bikinis,
mm-hmm,
for all to see. Between them, Dennis Murphy. In a Speedo. The question is, what woman can stand to tongue-kiss Dennis the longest?
Oh.
The woman who Frenches Dennis the longest, mm-hmm, wins the hot tub.
Oh, my.
We tried to do this contest at our old Las Vegas-style show,
mm-hmm,
and the most a woman has ever gone with Dennis tongue-wrestling is, I think, 75 seconds.
Yeah, a little over, almost a minute and a half.
Mm-hmm. So when we do this contest 2 weeks from today, we will get women coming down in their teeniest bathing suits.
and doing this in the hot tub?
In the hot tub.
So just Dennis, hopping in there with Dennis and...
Jenna and Shiloh.
Right.
And we'll do it right out in the back so everybody can come by and watch this. There'll be no nudity, so there'll be no problem with the cops or the fire marshal coming by.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would be interested, ladies, in winning a $5,000 hot tub,
yes,
just think about how long you might be able to stand Dennis Murphy's half a tongue in your mouth.
Very good.
Okay?
I think that's a lovely contest. I know that I'll be queasy by the, you know, 5 minutes into it, but it's a lovely idea.
We were just having a little promotional meeting about it, and somebody said, well, don't you think that maybe a woman could kiss him for 20 minutes?
Right.
I said, not a chance.
Well, you don't, you know, I have faith in our listening audience.
Not a chance.
You never know. There might be, I think there are 2 hour women out there.
And when we're talking about Frenching,
as soon as the seal is broken,
that's it, you lose.
So, I mean, it's actually not only a question of your courage, it's a question of your ability as an athlete.
And if you have nice lungs,
right,
that would probably help since you'll have to breathe mainly through your nose.
Right. Oh, God.
I imagine that the winner would probably be in the 5 to 7 minute range.
And that would be an incredible record.
A Herculean.
Yes.
Around the same amount of time that Rudy said that bus would be showing up. Five to 7 minutes.
I have a question for you regarding our paintball excursion.
That's this Saturday.
Okay. We've got to get the word out to the salespeople. I just saw Mr. McWilliams in the hallway, and I said, Tim, are you ready for Saturday? And he knew nothing about it.
Well,
and I thought he was supposed to be the general of the sales team.
Right. I'm positive he got the same memo I did.
I don't think Mr. McWilliams was claiming ignorance. Now, is this one of those Tim McWilliams moves where he's trying to wangle his way, or do any of the salespeople know about this?
Here's what I heard.
Okay.
And we'll bring General McWilliams in here in a moment.
Very good.
The Vietnamese Army.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that Tim talked a big game, but in actuality, none of the salespeople want to go out and play paintball.
Mm-hmm. You're kidding me.
No.
That they're such wimps?
None of them will back him up on this. That he heard...
Why don't we get some of the macho guys like Brad?
He heard a variety of excuses. I have bad knees. It's too cold outside.
That makes it fun to do it, and the snow is fun.
Paintball is too violent. I might get hurt.
What's the total time commitment for something like that?
A couple hours, maybe.
Yeah, come on.
A couple hours. Well, we're going to be there Saturday morning.
I want salespeople there. I think it should be required.
We'll work it out. And, of course, we'll have our correspondent, Rod Spiewak.
Yes. Now we see lots of blood.
We are going to be taping the entire thing and playing you highlights on our show next week, much as we've done when we go out on other great outings like that time we tried to go fishing.
Yes. Tell you right now, I've actually been preparing for this by watching Saving Private Ryan as many times as I can.
Hello. That's what I hope it's like, that beach scene.
Oh, absolutely.
With us being the guys that are still alive.
They make it. And the sales guys being like the Germans that come out of the bunker with their hands up in the air and say, what? What?
Slaughter them. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hello, who is this, please?
This is Greg.
Hello, Greg, where are you from?
I'm from Portland, Maine.
Greg, you are the 100th caller.
All right.
And, my friend, you are listening to us on the mighty WZAN, right?
That's it.
You've won the Playboy Magazine prize pack. Call 1-800-500-8800 to order a subscription to Playboy.
Lock yourself up, those pine tree winners with Playboy.
And pay 67% off the cover price.
Great.
All right, my friend, are you ready to go for the big, big, big buck?
I am.
Well, I can't feel the cold weather with Miss January sitting on my stomach.
There you go.
Pepperidge Farm, remember?
Oh, man, I'll tell you right now. Look at that granny. Look at that granny next to the chuck wagon.
Do you understand what it means if somebody says they are between their first job?
he's probably never had a job.
Yeah, now see how tough was that, huh? Yeah, there you go.
What did we find in... I'm just giving you a brief psychological battery of tests.
Mm-hmm.
What did we find in Rudy Marsky's nightstand?
Two small jars of Vaseline.
Yeah.
And a tube of lube.
Oh, specifically.
Right, this guy's too bright. You will play for $1,000.
All right.
$1,000. If you would have dumbed it up a little bit.
That's right.
You could have gone for the big buck.
Yeah, but I can't fool you guys.
All right, my friend.
Oh, do you want to play Who Farted also?
Let's go for it.
Are you want to? Let's do the real contest first.
Okay.
Let's do the real one, and then we'll let him play, because he's such a fan of the show, we'll let him play Who Farted.
So here we go. For $1,000,
mm-hmm.
I'll play you the secret celebrity laugh. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
A Maine lobsterman.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
We wish you
good speed. Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
There is a secret celebrity laugh which could buy you a lot of fish. $1,000 American. Who is that secret celebrity?
Trust the Gordon fisherman. Oh, yes.
For $1,000 American, who is that?
Was that Ed Wynn?
God, I was hoping he'd be right. Ed Wynn.
No, Ed Wynn, you mean the guy who loves to laugh?
I love to laugh.
That's the guy. No. No, absolutely not.
Long winners up there.
All right, are you ready to try for an extra prize?
Sure.
We're going to play Who Farted. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. Who farted on the show? Who's this? Who is that?
That was Rob.
No.
Ah.
Sorry.
Okay.
I'll give you another one. Who farted?
That was Mike.
God bless you,
that
sir.
That was a powerful one.
Very good, yes.
That's right. Okay, you're one for one. Let's see if you can get 3 out of 5.
Okay.
Who farted?
That was Mike.
That was Rob A.
Ah.
All right, you got to get this one to stay in the game. Who farted?
Was that Mike's new fart?
No, boy, you're loving Mike.
Yes, he is.
No, that is Buzz's fart.
Ah.
Right. I give them to you again, just so you know next time. This one is me farting. This one is Mike farting. This one is Rob farting. This is Buzz farting.
Oh, wow. Rip it out.
Good one,
still,
Buzz.
Thank you. Still, really.
Thank you.
Right there on the rock. And then Michael Rockhead.
Yeah, that's
the same kind of effort he puts forth every day.
Those are the farts. All right, my friend. No extra prize. Thank you for playing the game. And don't forget that every guest is a clue
for you.
You. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. Hold on just a second. Let's do a break. Rob, why don't you gather up General McWilliams from the Ho Chi Minh Trail and bring him in, because he's the guy that started all this talk with paintball.
Absolutely.
And he wanted a war.
Yeah, we have to. The sales people have to step up this time.
Cal, you want a war? You got a war.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Saturday. This Saturday morning.
Right.
Mike and I will be using select fire markers made by Angels.
Yeah, baby.
Angels fires 15 rounds of paintballs per second.
Yeah, brother.
That's right.
We're going to kick some ass. Are you wearing a special suit?
I think I'm going to wear a Star Trek uniform, actually.
Really?
You're into this, David?
Heinlein is into it.
All right, Heinlein is in.
Good. Fantastic.
That's great.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's good, right? I'm thinking about going out and buying some cami.
Yeah.
Buying some black and gray cami.
I might buy one of those hunter's jumpsuits.
There you go.
Yeah.
But don't get anything with a bright, bright, bright orange.
No. No, it'd be camouflage.
Hold on, Mike. The general of the Vietnamese Army is not at the station right now.
Oh, really?
I didn't see.
Hello, General McWilliams.
How are you, baby?
Listen, General. First, and a good day to all your Vietnamese people.
Come on, man. You know, all right, go ahead.
You know that last week when we talked about this paintball, Tim described it as America versus Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
thinking, of course, that we would roll over.
Right.
And I say to you, Tim, that we're the Americans, you're the Vietnamese.
And, look, Don, this is the way it went down. You had the whole station, except for the sales force. You were outnumbering us. You were the Vietnamese. We were the Americans.
All right, now, the bottom line here, Tim, is when I brought up the fact that we've got this contest coming up this Saturday, you were expressing a great deal of surprise, and I just want to clear this up because we need some salespeople out there Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, we know nothing about it.
All right, Tim, here's the details. Saturday morning, 8 a.m.
Not enough time, Don. No, it ain't going to happen.
Whoa,
it's not going to happen.
It's Monday. We need time.
It's not going to happen. I'm telling you. You can't drop that on me at 5:30 on Monday afternoon.
Tim, you don't schedule a war like you're going to tea with somebody.
You have to schedule the war when the battlefield is available.
The war starts Saturday morning at 8 o'clock.
Well, it's going to be a very simple war then, baby.
Now, are you speaking for all of the salespeople or just for the coward, Mick Williams?
Coward, yeah.
The yellow.
I'll tell you what, I'll look around tomorrow, see who's interested, but I'll tell you what, I don't think there's going to be enough notice to get that done.
Gee, Jim, let me see. There's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Five days. It's already Monday close of business. We got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Four days.
Right. We need more time. That's exactly my point.
I'm sorry.
Not enough.
War knows no schedule. As I recall, when I was discussing paintballing with Bart and his friends, you came up to me to challenge us. I never came to you.
Now wait a minute now. You were talking about you against the sales force. I said, bring it on, baby.
All right, now, Tim, would it be possible that if you have a conflict yourself, which I'm gathering might be the case, that perhaps you would relinquish your command to some other member, for example...
To Private Hainline?
Private Hainline, who has just come by and given us a thumbs up?
Give it to him.
How come you don't want to play?
You have a conflict?
I got a conflict, Saturday, yeah.
Hmm.
What is the conflict?
The conflict is painting a church.
You're painting a church? Oh, you know, his work with the church. Well, you know, he's serious about that kind of stuff.
I just want to tell you something, Tim. God hates cowards.
He truly does.
The kind of painting that you guys want to be involved with wouldn't work on the walls of the church.
God wants the church painted, but God hates a coward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well.
You know, in Saving Private Ryan, that sniper, you know, that takes out all the guys in the towers?
Exactly.
You know, he's a very religious man. He gets his work done before he goes and paints the church.
And Freddy does the Father, Son, Holy Spirit thing. So, Tim, you mean to tell me that you can't take an hour out of your busy church painting schedule?
You got it.
To join us for the War of the Century this Saturday?
That's right. You got it.
You know how he is when he digs his heels in.
Give us the hay line. I want to tell you something.
He's yellow.
Yeah.
He's yellow.
But you will always be branded a coward.
Yellow. Yellowstain.
Hey.
That's you.
To my head, it ain't going to work, guys.
So Yellowstain McWilliams.
You name another date and I'm there.
Name another date? Excuse me. Excuse me
that the war can't be worked around your very busy schedule.
Do you think Douglas MacArthur called Hitler and said, hey, listen, Adolf, how does Saturday at noon sound? You know what he said? He said, we're coming in. Get ready.
Do you think Dwight Eisenhower said to Franklin Roosevelt, gee, we might not be able to storm the beach because I have to paint the church?
I don't think that George Bush called Saddam and set up a date. George Bush said, I'm drawing the line in the sand. You get your ass out or I'm coming in.
You know, this might be one of those things they add to the list, though, you know. When we're up there and it's judgment time, and maybe there was just one thing that we had that was keeping us out. It's like, but remember that time you gave Tim the hard time about painting his church?
Hey, Tim. I want to tell you something, and I mean this. And I am a religious man, and that is no BS. I don't believe there is a church.
All right.
I don't believe there's a church that's being painted.
All right.
Do you think we could get a note from your pastor?
I got one better. I'll tell you what. After your paint fiasco, after you get killed by the sales force, I'll give you the address, bring your checkbook, and you'll write a check for it to my favorite charity, the church, for $500 when you see 17 people painting it Saturday. Deal?
Huh?
Are you saying that He is saying that he is definitely painting a church on Saturday. Private, excuse me, now promoted to Field Marshal Hainlein, has just made his way into the studio.
Hi, David.
How many guys do you need?
Or how many people? Because we have some very athletic women here as well.
Now, we fight against
good.
Women.
And it's your choice. I mean,
we're like Andy Kaufman.
How many teams? What's going to be the size of our squad? Is it going to be like...
No idea.
8 against 8?
Don't know.
10 against 10?
Yeah,
you, I mean, you play, what I'm asking you is because you played paintball.
What I've played has always been 4-on-4, but we can play with as many as show up.
Right.
8 a.m.?
8 a.m. Saturday morning.
Where?
Well, I don't want to say it on the radio until afterwards.
Oh, that's a good idea.
This place, right there.
Okay.
Yeah, but you've shown your stellar judgment that's going to lead your troops to an overwhelming defeat.
I'm there.
Okay,
I look
David.
Forward to going after you guys.
You know what? Try to assemble your. Can you assemble your squad by the end of today?
Absolutely.
And then you can let us know.
By the end of today, I'll let you know tomorrow.
Tomorrow, and then we can match the numbers.
Sure.
And then see, because what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to wait to see how many people they have, and then our squad. You know, people are lining up. It's good.
Oh, Tim. You can hang up on Tim.
Tim hung up on me.
he hung up on us.
He had to go buy paint. I don't buy that thing about painting the church.
He said $500 if we show up at the church.
Anybody, mm-hmm. You know, he could look in a local newspaper and find a church that is having some kind of a renovation over the weekend. I don't believe him.
And then just leave his car running. Here it is, Don.
I just don't believe him.
My church.
I don't believe him. Old Yellow Stain McWilliams.
Okay, who are you thinking about putting together on this? Have you had some interest already?
I've asked a couple people, but, you know, there's already a couple excuses. I'll get a team. I'm not worried. If I have to take you on by myself, I'll take you on by myself.
Who's giving you the excuses?
There's no excuses. There's people traveling.
Hmm.
But I'm very confident that we can get people. Maybe we can get our new leader, Alan.
Traveling. People traveling on the sales department? You mean something up in the bed or the refrigerator?
Yeah, on a Saturday morning? Who travels on a Saturday morning?
Well, they're usually coming home from maybe the night before.
Yeah. See, already he's got a soft touch. We demand presence for our team members.
Our team will be there.
I'll be there.
We'll kill you.
I'll get Matt Ray, get Tim McCarthy.
That's
get
good.
Big guys.
Big targets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
good.
Great. Yeah.
Get Michelle.
There's two big targets.
You know what I'm saying.
This little girl has knocker.
You think our new fearless leader will be posting for this?
Mr. Line One?
Yes.
Yeah. I certainly hope so.
Good.
He's an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, he's a natural athlete.
Yeah, get him out there.
Stacey B, she wants to do it. She's good with guns.
Good.
We'll kill him like the rest.
I think that'll be fantastic.
We'll kill him like one of his regular old foot soldiers. Bring him out.
I might have to shoot him myself.
See, that's what we got going for is mutiny.
Oh, you're on my team? Sorry.
All right, get out of here, Field Marshal Hainlein.
All right. Saturday morning.
And I'd like to point out that, you know, leading up to this battle and during the battle, all is fair in love and war.
Anything goes, baby.
Which means, you know, one of the major things in any war situation is military intelligence and winning people over to your side.
Right? Psychological warfare.
Of course, terror.
We got all those things on our side.
Everything.
Christ, we've got to be the huge favorites. We're the St. Louis Rams.
Also, don't count Mr. McWilliams out entirely.
That's true.
He's a devious sort. He's somebody that you might pull a fast one. Like, we might just see him goggles and camo on the day of the event.
Ah, there was no church. I haven't been to church in 25 years.
Liar!
Boom, boom! Very good, we got us a battle hat.
Oh, fantastic.
And with Hainlein in charge.
Oh, it's
great.
It'll be delightful.
Christ, I'll let you take the wheel for a while, Buzz.
All right.
How would you like to lead us into battle in the second and third quarter?
I'd love to do that.
It's beautiful. That's how confident I am.
And we're going to have super deluxe weaponry, too.
Yes, you and I, Mike, have the biggest, baddest guns.
Oh, I love that.
As always. They're like penis extensions. Fantastic.
I'll buy a suit.
Saturday morning. Cannot wait. And don't forget Dennis. You're dressing up like a nurse.
Yay!
We want Dennis to really wear a real, like, white nurse's outfit.
Right? With maybe like one of those woolen capes.
Like the kind Klinger used to wear. On MASH.
Fantastic.
And then you'll hear the whole thing. Then.
Great.
Fantastic. All right. Paintball battle is on.
It's going to be sloppy. It's
gone.
Gonna be wet. It's going to be delightful.
Kill the salespeople.
You're good.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Sports 1140 KHDK. Your home. Certified Blouse Clown Inspectors, Don and Mike.
Let's see what the frog had in his column today.
Hi.
Speaking of the frog.
Did you see that? I saw this on TV over the weekend. I see a picture now before we get to Larry King. The fact that Michael Douglas knocked up Zeta Jones.
Yeah.
No! Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
It didn't take him long.
Oh, my God. He's going to be a daddy.
To plant his devil seed.
Now, so not only does he take her off the market, but now...
stretches her out.
Oh, man.
Makes her all floppy down there.
Oh, Michael.
She'll never be quite as tight.
And, you know, how old... what's he, 80 now or something like that?
55, 55. He'll be able to tell everybody.
Oh, man.
Zeta Jones used to be real tight.
Oh, God.
But now she's like a slinky.
Oh, God.
Because me, Michael Douglas.
I'm Michael Douglas.
I stretched her good.
Oh, God.
Natural childbirth. Come on, you know what that happens to a woman?
Oh, my.
She's never quite the same in that regard. You know, once she's squeezed out a child.
Michael Douglas, who'd have thunk it?
Mm-hmm. They have finally confirmed they are expecting a baby.
Right.
Engaged since New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Planned to wed this year. Blah, 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 blah. Pregnancy after she dropped out of Oliver Stone's new movie. But that was denied until this Friday when they indeed said she has the seed.
Uh-huh.
It'll be the first child for Zeta Jones. Douglas, double nickel, 55 years.
Yes.
Has a son from his marriage to the woman that he told he was a sexaholic to.
There you go.
What a great line that is.
Michael Douglas, though. So now, you know, now he's got his trophy woman there, and now father, yes, fatherhood.
And he knows. He knows that he's ruined her. You know what it's like?
Yeah.
It's like when you get a brand new snowfall, and you go out and you put the first imprint.
Mm-hmm.
You put the first footprint in the snow.
Right.
You're the first one there.
Mm-hmm.
It'll always be there until it melts away. You were first.
You were the first one.
You did the damage.
And you know she'll be like so many of those Hollywood women. She'll have the baby and she'll probably, what, be 3 hours later, she'll look incredible and all the other women will be jealous. But he will still have been there first.
And I don't mean that he's the first, like that she's a virgin. Because she's probably slept around plenty. But she's the first, he's the first who will stretch her out.
You said that before. You like saying that, don't you?
I guess I do.
That creeps me out beyond belief.
Why?
I don't know why.
Hey, Robbie, give me a rubber band.
I'm so glad I said that now, too.
Give me a rubber band. I'll explain to you how this works.
No, I understand exactly how it works.
That unless the woman has a C-section, where the baby comes out.
Right. Yeah, I understand biology. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Well, generally, what you're doing is...
I understand it better. I really could.
What you're doing is you're getting a very large baby, the head, especially of the baby,
yes,
coming out of this very, very
small opening,
tiny area,
yes,
like this. Let's say, Mike, here's a rubber band.
Right.
This is Zeta Jones now.
Yes.
After she's been with some guys but never had a baby.
Right.
That's the rubber band.
Mm-hmm.
Here's after childbirth.
Right.
See that?
I understand.
See how big that is?
Right.
Huge. Look how that flops around now.
Yeah.
Look at that. It won't even...
Well, actually, if you're using that as an illustration, that would be... It went back to the exact same size it was originally.
Not after I pull on it, Lyle. Look what just happened.
You've broken it.
It broke.
That does... And now, we don't want that to happen.
No, we don't.
We don't. We really don't want that to happen.
We don't, but it gets long and stretchy like this.
Just like that.
Just like this with this rubber band.
That's an... Now I understand your illustration, Doctor.
That's what Michael Douglas has done to her. You know what a lot
you
of
know,
ways...
And you've always advocated the Three Stooges method of biology class. The B.A.
This also, I know he's in the war.
I wish you were wearing your professor's hat while you were doing this.
This also looks like a girl's private area, kind of. It would have to be shorter.
How could that one? Now you're losing me on that one.
Okay. If this was a thicker rubber band.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that.
Okay. You know, like if
yes, doctor,
you're
going to
diddle her.
I understand.
That's where you would diddle.
My God.
Why?
Nothing. Nothing.
And Robbie, get me a, I need a paperclip.
Now I see, I don't even know what's coming.
No, I don't either.
Anatomy with office products.
That's just a stupid joke.
Let me see. Larry King's coming.
You're not
today.
Being serious.
Oh, no, I was being serious about him stretching her out.
Yeah.
But she'll never be the same down there. She'll never have the same resiliency.
Yes.
She'll never be as tight. A woman gets loose down there. You try to push that out?
Mm-hmm.
That's unnatural.
Yeah.
I mean, that something so big can come out of something so small. It just, it goes to reason that, you know, too much pressure is on that area.
But you speak as though it's some sort of unnatural thing.
Oh, no, it's highly natural.
It's very natural.
I'm just saying that once it happens, it happens.
Well, that's probably the reason why...
You're all stretched out.
You know, in the long run, that you know, a man and a woman meant to be together for life, like what, geese, Buzz? Is that what you say?
Right, like geese.
To mate for life.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. Now, for instance, Buzz's wife, Buzz and Marsha had no kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right. She's probably still very tight. Not stretched out.
There's a good chance that's true.
Like Frida. I only use my own wife as an example, because she's had a child.
You're a brave man to use your own wife as an example.
Yes, you are. Well, I know you'd get mad if I said your wife.
Oh, yeah. You know, you're very perceptive in that regard.
Although I'd be speaking the truth.
My wife had a C-section, though.
Both times?
Yes.
Well, then, okay, maybe she's still pretty tight. But as a general rule, you know, it becomes sloppy. All right. Oh, and this is the bionic woman's pubic hair.
Oh,
the paperclip.
The paperclip. When you bend it up and all.
That's
that
why
stuff.
Rob ran to get that paperclip for you.
There's great.
Good job.
Thank you. Great gag. I'm a very busy boy.
This is Larry?
Yeah, this is Larry's column today. I'm a very busy boy. Tuesday, I head to New Hampshire. We will do two editions of Larry King Live.
Yeah, in New Hampshire, yeah.
Who cares? I mean, really, who cares about this?
About Larry King going up there.
Yeah, right.
Right.
On the 19th, I head for South Africa, where I'm doing a week of visiting and speaking at the Investitech International Roadshow.
Oh, man, I wish he was going on some kind of dangerous safari, too.
I'll be in Johannesburg, Cape Town, and Durban. The trip includes a private lunch with Nelson Mandela.
Of course.
Imagine that.
That's the whole reason that that's included for the name drop, the ultimate name dropper.
Having never been to that part of the world, I'm looking forward to it. It's vacation week, but knowing me, I'll probably file something to CNN.
Ah, because he's such a workaholic and such an incredible self-promoter.
My brother, Marty Zeiger, will accompany me.
Marty, we're going to South Africa.
It's too long a hike for my pregnant wife, Sean.
Do you notice? All right, I'm going to offer a prediction here.
Mm-hmm.
This is the end. Now, these two have not been apart for long periods of time.
She's stretched out also, I'd just like to point out.
And I will tell you right now, you notice that this is an awfully long trip for Larry to be taking. And I really think that you're seeing the beginning of the newness wearing off. This is just a prediction. But you know Larry with his relationships. I mean, what marriage is this for Larry?
Number seven.
Right. At least.
Just like Georgia Frontieri.
Sure. You know, I mean, maybe it's just, you know, I'm going to go away for a few days. A month in South Africa.
But wait, now, hold on. Here we go. So, he's writing about his trip to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
On June 1, CNN celebrates its 20th birthday. That night, Larry King Live celebrates its 15th birthday. On the evenings of June 1 and 2, I will host two-hour specials at 9 p.m. Ted Turner will co-host with me June 1. Now get this. Canon Edward King is due June 3.
Yeah, see?
A plane will be standing by, engines revving, because I must be there for this one.
Oh, man.
Okay, now there, you know, you might be on to something
you're
here.
You're seeing the slow diminishing of the doting father right now.
You might be
Larry's attention span is beginning to wane.
Listen, Sean, I know you're having the baby, but...
I know you're pregnant, but I'm going to fly to South Africa with my buddy, my brother Marty's, I guess.
And then how can I not go on stage with Ted?
I know the baby's due like that day, but it's Ted Turner, and he just divorced Jane.
I've got to be there.
Because I'm an a-hole.
Add to life's great annoyances. Swallowing a drink the wrong way. This is still from his column now.
This is probably happening to Larry more and more.
Button fly jeans when you have to go to the men's room in a hurry.
Damn these talents. I can't get these fingers to work.
Having to sneeze and not being able to.
Picturing Larry in button fly jeans. And you know, if there are any jeans on Larry, they're brand new, probably not even stonewashed. They're just the brand new denim that he buys, like when he goes out to Ted Turner.
Press.
With a crease down them.
Down a little. Okay, here are more of life's annoyances. Now he's filling up his column today. hiccups. Talking to machines.
Damn this reflux.
Cell phones cutting out. I hate them in the first place. We'd be better off without them.
Cell phones getting curmudgeon-y, Larry.
Right, Larry. Yeah. We'd be better off without cell phones.
You know, he's probably giving a speech somewhere and somebody's cell phone went, I'm talking.
My brother Marty Zegar will accompany me. On June 1st, CNN celebrates its 20th birthday. Ted Turner will co-host with me June 1st.
That's more exciting. Look what, you know, all you have to do, look how he prioritizes. Do you remember when he first got married, it was Sean.
Right.
When she was pregnant with their first child, it was president's dignitaries will know him. He's glowing.
He's
now,
Moses-like.
Now look where the poor second baby falls on the priority.
Let me give you the names in the column today.
Okay.
Before he mentions his kid.
Right.
Nora Ephron.
Mm-hmm.
Diane Keaton. Lisa Kudrow. Meg Ryan, Walter Matthau, Bob Woodward, Jeff Greenfield, Jack Kemp, Ann Richards, Judy Woodruff, Nelson Mandela, Marty Zeiger, Sean King, Ted Turner, and then finally,
right,
Canon Edward King. The only person that Canon Edward King beats out is Orrin Hatch.
There you go.
Beyond Orrin Hatch. No, yeah. I take it back. Orrin Hatch and Tony Robbins are below Canon Edward King in his new column.
I think the pattern has established itself.
You might
know.
Have something.
You know, and I mean, come on, any guy that's been a father, you just put yourself in this situation where you're saying, yeah, when's the baby due? The 3rd of June?
Right, okay. You know what you do? You block out May and June.
Absolutely.
You don't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Unless you do an important broadcast from Ireland.
No! Oh, God. Memory. That's funny. Oh, my God.
I couldn't blame you.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't blame you.
Yeah, we had a little tiff back then. Just a tiny little tiff. But I think you can see the handwriting on the wall with Lawrence.
No, absolutely.
Oh, you crack me up.
Listen, Sean. We've been doing our traveling. I'm going to Africa with Marty.
Yeah, I know you're pregnant, but listen.
I got to go to New Hampshire tonight.
It's really important. What I'm going to do, you know how I was there by your side for the first pregnancy? I'm going to spend as much time away from you during this pregnancy as possible.
You have my cell phone number, right? You call me anytime, day or night.
Let me tell you something. The first pregnancy was so new and exciting and fine, but can I go to South Africa with Marty?
I'm going to tell you something. You're stretched out. I like a tight woman.
God.
You're all stretched. That's why I'll be with Ted Turner.
On the night before, you're going to have the baby.
Because it's Ted.
Yeah, it's Ted Turner. What do you expect me to do?
Honey.
You know Ted, the man that just dumped his wife. Yeah, great.
It's the 25th anniversary of CNN.
It's vacation time, but I might file something for CNN. My first and only woman. I love you, CNN.
Didn't he at one time...
You're my one true love, yes.
When he was interviewed one time, they said, if you were given this call, and they said,
your wife's on the phone.
Your wife is on the phone, or... The President of the United States is on the phone.
Right.
He would take the call from the President of the United States.
No, if it's your wife calling and she's got an emergency or something like that, or CNN. CNN's got an emergency.
That was it, right.
I'd call CNN.
Take CNN.
Right. Because that's the, yeah, okay. Yeah, I think we know.
And since he met this wife,
yes.
He supposedly has amended his way.
Oh, he's changed his priorities. But
right.
Now you're beginning to see, you know, the priorities, you know.
Marty, it's Larry. Listen. Christ, am I tired of being here with the old battle axe. All she does is complain. All the baby does is cry. Want to go to Africa? Let's go to Africa. We'll break bread with Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, I understand Chance is in his formative years, and it's important for Daddy to be around as often, especially a daddy that's going to buy the farm before his high school graduation. But Marty has always expressed a desire to go to South Africa to meet Nelson Mandela. And Ted Turner wants me to be on the show.
Larry, that's great. Can you work my name into your column today?
Absolutely. I'll put it before you and the soon-to-be Canon Armstrong King.
You think he actually sits there and he goes, let me see. Who gets today? Who's the biggest name? Diane Keaton? No. Lisa Kudrow? No. Nora Ephron. I like that movie. You've Got Mail. She's tops today.
Ted. It's Larry. I'll be there. Don't worry.
Count on it. I'll be there.
Oh, come on. Of course.
Listen, can I tell you something? You can have a kid any day of the week. How many times is CNN going to turn 25? I will be there for you, my friend. I will be there for you.
Listen, can I put something in the column like you'll have the jet standing by? You won't really have to use the jet. I'll fly coach.
You want to go to the Gold Club?
Yes.
I'm an ass. Talking Jills? Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Listen, Ted, the next time you invite us out to the ranch, I understand you'll be uncomfortable with Jane not being there and me bringing Sean. So Sean will stay home. It'll be just you and me riding horses, big cowboy hats, and our crazy team around your ranch. I'm Larry King.
Listen, I'm here for you. I'm going to Atlanta. I'll file reports. Of course, I will be honored to be with you on the 25th anniversary of CNN. Christ, it's just a baby.
Honey, I understand you're having the baby, but it's CNN turning 25.
Honey, in my lifetime, I will have many, many children. But I will only be around for the 25th anniversary of CNN once.
And Ted's going to be hosting with me.
Now, you listen to me. You listen to me, Sean King. If I don't get this, you know who's getting this? Wolf Blitzer.
You know I'm not going to let that happen.
I'll be goddamned if I'm letting him co-host with Ted.
He wears the whole piece on his head. I only use paint.
What, they going to get Bernie Shaw? I am CNN. You call me when your water breaks.
Marty cried when I said I was going to have to stay home with you during your pregnancy. So we're going to have to go to South Africa. I mean, other than that. I just hope that they put him on a safari.
Do you think they have a gold club in South Africa? Marty would like to go see some exotic dancing.
Sean. Ooh, look at those ladies there, young. Mm.
Sean, I know. I've got it all worked out. June 1st and 2nd, I'm with CNN. June 3rd, I'm with you.
Don't have that baby before it's due. I'm late, King.
I wonder what he would do, really. If, let's say, it's 8 o'clock, mm-hmm. the CNN show goes on at 9.
Right.
He gets the call. That's it. The water broke.
You know, you're just going to have to wait and see. And I think, you know, who knows?
The show must go on.
I think so.
Well, Sean,
how you doing?
Don't have that baby yet. Wait until 11 p.m. East Coast time. Hi, folks. It's Larry King.
The very important Larry King. Losing interest in being an elderly daddy.
You know why? You're stretchy. Oh, you're all see like Gumby now. You're very stretchy. You're not tight like Julie. My last girlfriend who I talked about endlessly on my radio show.
Ah, yes. Puppy love with the king.
Julie.
Yes, sirree. And who's next? Who's next? I'm young enough. There'll be someone else.
Time out. We will be back right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
To tape the presentation of the gift.
And this year's going to be worse than a dildo.
Oh, my God.
Really? I don't know what's worse than a dildo, but we'll come up with something.
I'm confident that it will be something more embarrassing.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, this is the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys. I didn't expect to be put on the air. I just wanted to get your address. This is Ray Garten. I'm the guy who dedicated the Sabrina the Teenage Witch book to you guys.
Oh, hey, how you doing? That was a great moment in our lives.
We were very excited about that.
Oh, I'm glad.
This guy wrote a book like for little girls
right.
who liked Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote one of those fictionalized like events on the not an episode of the
no,
TV
it
show.
Was just a tie-in. It was an original story, but it was using the characters from the show.
That's cool. And are you still doing a lot of those kind of books?
Yeah, I have a new one out now. It's a Buffy the Vampire Slayer book, which I've dedicated to Buzz.
Dedicated that one to Buzz.
That's great. Thank you.
Congratulations, Buzz.
Cool.
And I have them right here on my desk. I want to send them to you guys. But I've lost your address.
Sure. We'd be glad to give that to you. Could you please read us the
inscription
you wrote for Buzz?
Yes. To Buzz Burbank, my favorite swinging newscaster.
Hey, all right. That's great.
That's great.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. Buzz, that is quite a highlight for you.
It is.
Enjoy.
It is.
I know
do.
It sounds queer as all get out.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and I really looked at that box of Sabrina the Teenage Witch book. Mm-hmm.
With our heads cocked to the jaunty angle, we're in a book dedication.
The book's been dedicated to us. Well, now you too, Buzz.
That's cool. Fantastic. Yes. Thank you, sir.
Hold on a moment, please. Hold on.
Thanks.
Hold on a second. There's no sex in your books, right?
Not in the ones that I write that are TV tie-ins. There's right. plenty of sex in the original novels I write.
Now, what would be your biggest original novel?
Live Girls.
Live girls? They can't get any more sexy than that.
Really? Lots
about
of good...
vampires that run, beautiful female vampires that run a peep show in Times Square.
Well, that's really? A book I'd like to read.
Cool.
They do not suck blood from the neck.
Oh my goodness. So it's real naughty.
And do you write all that? Do you write the, the good, like, letters to penthouse stuff?
You mean the sex in the book? Is it that explicit?
Yeah. Really?
Hey, when you send the books for Buzz, can you throw a couple of copies of that one in?
I'll see what I can do.
God bless you.
Send me and Mike some of your dirty stuff.
Okay.
Love to read.
Nothing like reading those dirty books.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Hold on a second.
Bad, bad man.
Fantastic.
I am reading a book now that is the equivalent, of Barbarians at the Gate, the book about RJR and Nabisco.
I wanted to tell you something about that. I know that book is about the inner workings of the Hershey and Mars Corporation.
Right, it's about the candy company.
The chocolate giants, but do you know what it looks like when you're reading that book?
What?
And I saw over your shoulder that you were reading it on the plane on the way down to Atlanta.
Yeah?
It looks like you're reading like a little chocolate recipe book based on the cover.
Oh, because the cover's full of like Hershey's Kisses and
what's
stuff.
What's the title of the book also? Is it?
I don't know. The Chocolate Wars.
The Chocolate Wars, and it has like pictures of like Hershey's Kisses on the cover. And it looks like you're reading a little chocolate cookbook when you're reading that book.
Anything but. It's a great book about how, for instance, the Mars Company, they make M&M's.
Right.
About how germ-phobic they are, mm-hmm. how publicity-shy they are, mm-hmm. about how they're based in McLean, Virginia. Right. In the corporate offices, they have no more than 50 employees. They don't have big, swanky offices. They all arrive to work at the same time every day. They all work in one big room together. There's no class system. The president of the company works right next to a secretary.
Are they worried about espionage, corporate espionage,
yes.
or something like that?
Sure. Yes. There's all this stuff between Hershey's and between M&M Mars.
Right.
That M&M Mars is pissed that Hershey's came out with Reese's Pieces because they think that Reese's Pieces are a direct ripoff of M&M's.
Oh, really? Wow.
And the reason that Mars has never come out with a peanut butter product, except for PB Max.
Right.
Anybody remember that candy bar?
Yeah, I do.
That's the candy bar that they brought onto the market. It made $50 million. They stopped making it because the kooky guys, the Mars brothers,
yeah.
they don't like peanut butter.
And that's the sole reason?
And that's why they're not making any peanut butter products.
Wow. Sounds like a little weird at the top of that company.
Do you know why the Hershey Company bought Almond Joy?
Why?
Because they love almonds.
Well, I guess, if you own the company, you might as well. Now, are there still these power brokers sitting at the top? Or
yeah,
I mean, has it been passed along? Yeah. I mean, the original, the founders, obviously.
Family to family.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who work at M&M Mars are described as eccentric,
mm-hmm.
goofy, shy, whereas the guys from Hershey, they're the guys with the corporate jets.
Yeah, like the old Barbarians of the Gate, like right. Philip Morris, right?
Except the one thing that they all guard is their secrets.
Their recipe secrets, like Willy Wonka.
About how they make the stupid candy.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, when Hershey's came out with, you know those Hershey's Kisses that have like white chocolate in them?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think they're called Hugs.
Right.
That's right.
They've got kind of the striped, they swirl them through.
Mm-hmm. Everybody that works in the Hershey plant had to sign a letter saying that they promised for their lifetime that they would never divulge the secrets of how Hershey's makes those.
So the biggest fear they have is somebody trumping the other company with the product. And I guess if they discover something, that would seem to me that both companies...
It's a great book.
It would seem that both companies would have people that are trying to do that, like to be aware of what the other company is
doing.
They're
both very paranoid. The book starts off with something that happened during the Gulf War. So it's 1991,
mm-hmm.
and we're sending our boys over to the desert,
right.
where it's going to be like 100 degrees.
Right.
And M&M Mars gets a contract with the government to make a candy bar that they can put in the rations that will not melt.
Mm-hmm.
Hershey is pissed off. Because back in WW2,
right.
Hershey supplied the candy bars to our boys who went and fought over there.
Right. Nylons and Hershey bars, right?
Mm-hmm. So while M&M Mars got the $1 million contract or whatever it is to make the candy bars, do you remember that Hershey came out with something called the Desert Bar?
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that they thought people would think they were sending to our GIs.
Right.
When in reality, it was just something they marketed to make people think it's what the GIs were eating.
God.
People ate these candy bars, which supposedly you could keep up to 100 degrees and they wouldn't melt.
You'd think that these companies would be a little sweeter. You really would.
Now, do they just these two companies, or do they talk about Nestle at all, or is it just
two
companies?
They're just these two.
Right.
And they both of them own everything.
Yeah.
Virtually every candy is owned by either one or the other.
That's
Hershey
funny.
Just bought all of the Good and Plenty, Mike and Ike, Necco Wafers.
Oh, wow.
There's very few companies left that make their own stuff. They're either made by M&M Mars or they're made by Hershey.
Well, the only thing you said about M&M Mars that I'm glad about is that they're germ-phobic. I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad people aren't picking their noses around the, the factory.
Oh, they wax the floors every 35 minutes.
That's cool.
That they have those snap inspections where these guys go to their different plants and they give the white glove test and all this other stuff.
And they flunk their throne into the giant vat of boiling chocolate.
It's fantastic.
Sounds great.
I love it. These guys are whacked out, man.
I'd like to read that book,
cool.
Even though the cover does look like some sort of like cookbook, a little you're trying to make finger sandwiches or something like
but
that.
But it's good.
I'd like to read that.
Oh, it's good, and all the money that they make is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The billions and billions of dollars that they make.
All on chocolate.
And why they make the decision to make the candies that they make.
Do they do the research stuff or what? I mean, they just do it like because they like something?
No, a lot of times they make just what they want to.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care what the research says. Like, for instance,
I guess it doesn't matter when you're making that much money. Right?
The Hershey people, they love almonds.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they put almonds in their candy bars. Because they love almonds. That's why they bought Almond Joy.
And who owned Almond Joy before?
The Cadbury Company.
Cadbury!
And Hershey bought out Cadbury.
Oh, so the cream eggs are now Hershey cream eggs.
That's right.
Unbelievable.
All owned by one place.
Candy is dandy, but sex won't rot your teeth.
Right. Fantastic. Oh, a great book. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, how you doing? I got a little quirky story about the M&M, the Mars candy bar companies, and they used to own a property out in Ashton, Sandy Spring area, and about 20 or more years ago, it mysteriously burned down after being on the market for a long time. And when they went to investigate, the fire investigators went to investigate, all the crystal chandeliers were out of the house, and all the crystal doorknobs had been removed, and all of the marble and brass and everything out of the house had been removed, but they could never prove arson for him. I thought it was just one of those quirky things about that family.
Well, I heard a rumor that the M&M Mars company, they're actually from Mars.
From Mars. Men are from Mars. Women are from Venus.
From Venus.
Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Buzz, I have dedicated my new travel book to you.
Have you, Jorge? What's it called?
A Gay Man's Guide to Uranus.
Oh, my. Speaking of planets.
Speaking of Hershey.
Pack your bags, Buzz.
Oh, really? You going to take Buzz on a trip, Jorge?
Yes, and we're going to do 69 the whole way.
I don't think so, Jorge.
Oh. Jesus, goodbye, Jorge.
You.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, it's Jorge.
You want Buzz to pack his colostomy bag? Hello?
Pack your bag.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, it's your dyke.
Oh, hi, Cheryl.
Cheryl, how you doing?
I, of course, have never eaten any candy. Look at my size.
Mm-hmm. Cheryl, the big dyke, everybody.
Hey, guess what? I'll be there on Wednesday, but Thursday's a very important day for me.
Why?
It's my birthday.
Really?
Birthday. Last year, you used the frying pan and Mike, your Tasmanian war clubs.
Very good.
On me, and it was the best spanking ever, you guys.
This is a preemptive birthday spanking call from Cheryl.
Well, I'll call on Thursday if you want to do it to me on the air again, but I will be there Wednesday night.
Yeah,
so.
Come to the show Wednesday night. We'll give it to you there.
Cheryl, Cheryl, because you are Cheryl the Big Dyke.
I am Cheryl the Big Dyke, and I will be turning 21 again.
What is your candy of choice? If I know you're not a big candy eater, but...
Well, I'm not anymore since I'm diabetic now, but that's because I ate too much candy years ago.
You never liked nuts, did you?
Nuts? I used to like nuts. And Don, I'd love your nuts. Well, you already know that from a long time ago because I think you're just a hottie. But I like Almond Joy.
Almond Joy.
You and my nuts.
I like the mounds of Almond Joy. And I like Kit Kat bars.
Kit Kat.
Yeah.
Okay. Good candy.
Kit Kat, pussy, whatever.
Oh, my Cheryl.
Pussy Kat.
You are full of yourself today.
I'm full of myself every day.
Fantastic.
But anyway, I haven't met a chocolate bar I didn't like.
Oh, all right. See you Wednesday.
We'll see you Wednesday night.
All right, goodbye.
Bye, guys.
See you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
about. Oh, boy, all those comments about nuts.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Larry Michael, BattleBots!
Oh, you know, I was going to ask, did anybody order that stupid pay-per-view this weekend?
How did it do?
It was really cool, except it was on during the Tyson fight, so I was flipping back and forth. Larry did a good job.
Larry Michael and BattleBots.
I do. It was neat watching robots going crazy. 400-pound robots attacking each other with saws coming up from the floor, sparks flying everywhere. I think I want to build a robot and do it next
time.
I do.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio.
I do. All right, we'll pass that on to Larry. Thank
you. Listen, if I do, I want to put a sticker with your guy's name on the side of it.
Oh, and what an honor that would be.
I think so.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, it's Tiz.
It's Tiz?
Tiz.
Why is I remembered something about Tiz.
Tiz, T-I-Z, Tiz.
Tiz.
Right, rhymes with jizz.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
I like nacho cheese.
That's the only reason he calls.
I know. All right, thank you, everybody.
Jizz and my brother Jizz.
Here he is, the man who's had the new Buffy the Vampire Slayer book dedicated to him.
Yeah.
Right. That's fantastic.
That is cool. Our friend, Guy J. Birdley, one of the Mars Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz, what is your lead story tonight on the news and the comments?
Tonight, finally, the stars come out for irritable bowel syndrome.
Yeah. Yay! Really, where's Tyne Daly on that?
I think we'll soon know.
Where's Roseanne on that issue? Really, irritable bowel syndrome. Give me one name.
One name? Mrs. Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, really?
That doesn't fit the bill. I was thinking Cameron Manheim, not on the list?
Not yet.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up. On the Don and Mike Show.
That was very...
professional.
Right, Bobby?
Bobby Knight.
The General, if you're listening to us in Seattle, Washington, local time just after 3:30, and our show every day, beginning to end, is heard on KRKO.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's in Seattle.
Right.
And now here's Guy Birdley.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, you know, one in every five Americans has irritable bowel syndrome, and Mrs. Kelsey Grammer is one of them.
Really?
Camille Grammer says she goes diarrhea to constipation and back again. And she does this so often, she says the first thing she asks when she goes somewhere is, where's the bathroom?
I'm listening.
She and Kelsey have just finished shooting a public service announcement about the problem together. She says she did this so others would not have to suffer in silence.
Oh, man. They've got bowels.
I guess
she's not all stretched out.
You don't think, well...
she hasn't had a baby, like Zeta Jones.
As far as we know. Yeah, that's true.
Buzz, let me interrupt you for a moment.
Okay.
Because joining us now on line number four...
yes?
We have a real celebrity.
Oh. A super celebrity?
Yes. Let me play her new introduction.
Okay.
Hello, stranger. You ready for your new intro? Mm-hmm. Here we go.
My first guest just made me laugh my butt off the last time she was on. That's what happened to her. I had to have her back. She stars in the hit CBS show King of Queens. Please welcome Rhea Remini.
That's right. That's an intro right there.
That's a big old Roseanne.
Yeah. Roseanne loved you.
Now, who are you talking about just now?
Kelsey Grammer's wife, Camille.
And irritable bowel syndrome.
She has irritable bowel syndrome.
And they're doing a public service announcement. It's where you have constipation, then diarrhea, then constipation.
She has bad poops.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a PSA on
her? And Kelsey Grammer filmed it with her.
Cute. That's so very sweet.
Where are you at right now?
I'm on the freeway.
You're on the freeway in L.A.?
Yes.
L.A. is my lady.
You know, we tried to call you last week.
Yeah, and then you talked to Kevin, and that was it.
No, we tried to talk to you after that, because we wanted to...
He didn't say anything.
Because when Kevin... Oh, that's not a good sign.
We talked to... What's that girl's name? Is it Michelle?
Yeah, Michelle.
Aaron?
Your assistant?
Oh, Michelle, yeah.
And she, she was supposed to pass along the message.
See, because we called you Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. We called you to leave you the message that we won't be ignored.
That's right. Okay.
And then she said... oh, yeah, Leah's in New Orleans. I told her you called.
Yeah, and she, it was cool for us, because, I mean, if you were down there, that was fine. We're concerned because we wanted to make, after we talked to Kevin and he said, hey, it's a cool idea, and we knew that you had passed along our message, we were immediately paranoid when we don't hear from you guys, because we think, maybe they're...
making that final move to just cut us loose,
you know.
First of all, I'm the one who called you. You returning my call.
What?
What?
I called you first.
Now, when did you call us first?
We called you last week, and then Charlie intercepted the call and said you guys were doing something. You were out of town.
No. We always call you first, and last week, we were here on Monday, Tuesday.
Wait a minute. Charlie's coming in here. Charlie, what's going on?
Here's what happened. We had called for Leah and spoke to Michelle on, I think it was Tuesday.
Is that when we left the We Won't Be Ignored call?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Right. And then on Thursday, when we left, when you were leaving for the airport, you were at Dulles getting that ticket thing taken care of.
Oh, right. I remember that.
And Michelle called me at exactly the same time. It was 1:30. And you wanted to talk to Don and Mike then, and I told Michelle that...
Oh, I didn't even know that you guys called.
Yes.
Great.
See?
So everything's cool.
Everything's great. I miss you guys.
We will not be ignored, Leah.
No, never.
We will not be ignored.
I'm not ignoring. I called you knowing that
I
didn't even know you called.
Now, listen, here's the thing.
You're getting all worked up.
No, so here's the thing. The thing is that, like, for the last 6 months, you know, at least while your show is not in reruns, we hear from you like at least once a week. And it's like all of a sudden...
We get scared, you know, we get scared.
You know, we don't hear from you.
Because I was in New Orleans.
What were you doing down there?
We were doing that NAFTE convention.
Oh, the syndicated TV shows.
Yeah. Which we're not even close to doing, but they sent us there anyway, which is nice.
And I
went with Mom.
And that's the bottom line, though. I mean, it, you know, getting the syndication is what you shoot for. So if you go down there and you're real sweet to everybody down there, it bodes well for the future, right?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, they just care about ratings.
You didn't even tell us that you were going to be on the Roseanne show. Hey, what's the deal with Roseanne's coffee cake hair? She has hair that looks like, the color of coffee cake?
I think she looks cute.
All right. I'm not saying that her hair doesn't look good like that. How come you didn't tell us you were on that show?
I don't know where it airs. It doesn't air in L.A.
It doesn't?
Robbie, where did you tape it?
It was on 1:30 in Baltimore.
1:30 in the morning in Baltimore,
really?
It was on.
Yeah.
Did Rob say that, like, laughingly?
Did you say that laughingly, Rob?
Yes, I did.
Oh, no. How did you enjoy the Super Bowl?
It's so damn funny about that.
Hey, Rob, Ms. Remedy wants to talk to you. What's that,
Rob? What's so funny about that?
Nothing. It's just, I know you love when I laugh. My bewitching laughter.
Okay.
You know, there was one thing, even though the Roseanne show's virtually on nowhere, there was one thing when I was watching the tape of this that really cracked me up. I guess Roseanne, like, stretches anything that she can on the show.
Right.
I guess every day they have a celebrity lookalike in the audience.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the episode, you know who they have to step up?
Who?
That guy that's with Leah's mom. Gene Wilder.
Oh, really? Oh, that's right. It's a Gene Wilder
lookalike. Hey, we got a Gene Wilder lookalike.
That was, and we called that early on that one. Remember that, Leah?
That was in the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, at the beginning.
What's your point to that?
He's getting sensitive for this.
There was no point to that.
I'm getting my period again.
Oh, no.
You are constantly getting your period.
Now, are you driving your own car or is someone driving you?
No, I'm driving a town car because my car broke down on the freeway yesterday.
You're driving a Lincoln town car?
Yeah.
That's funny alone. That is funny all by itself.
I look like a little Goomba, you know? Like, I adore Leah this little thing in this big car.
Leah Soprano driving around L.A.
Exactly.
So when do you think you'll be getting your period?
Well, I think it's coming every day. Any day now.
Every day now. What did you do yesterday for the Super Bowl?
I sat in my house.
Wait, was anybody
watching
there?
The Super Bowl with Angelo and his brother.
Just you and Angelo and his brother?
And his brother's girlfriend.
What did you eat? Did you make stuff?
Well, they ordered pizza while I sat there making grilled chicken for myself.
That sounds kind of boring.
It was completely boring. Completely.
Were you cramping?
I mean, the exciting part of the game was the last 5 minutes.
Were you cramping at all during this?
I wasn't, but I was feeling annoyed and irritated.
Yeah.
But that's usual for me.
Kind of the build-up.
Yeah.
You normally call us when you're getting your period.
Isn't that weird?
Do you find us easy to talk to during that time?
Very easy to talk to. And you let me bitch and carry on, and you think it's funny.
We love it. We enjoy it.
Yeah, we love you.
I like it particularly when you yell at Rob or Buzz.
You do? What is Buzz up to?
Buzz was just beginning his newscast.
He was talking about Kelsey Grammer's wife with the irritable bowel.
Say hi to Leah, Buzz.
Hi, Leah.
How are you, Buzz?
I'm good. How are you?
All righty.
Just Leah driving around in a town car.
Can you feel the warmth?
Are you picking up the sea over the, like, the dashboard in the town? Do you have to put the seat up all the way?
It looks ridiculous. I keep pushing that electric thing that pushes, you know, the seat up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I look ridiculous.
What happened to your regular car? What happened to your regular car?
We're driving on the freeway yesterday, and this hose just popped out. All this water started spraying on the windshield, and then it just started smoking.
She's such a girl. Well, what kind of regular car do you drive? I mean, what's
I drive a BMW.
Oh, of course you do.
A late model Beamer?
A BMW.
A BMW.
What's that?
That's how you really say it. G. Gordon Liddy told us that the correct way to pronounce it is not BMW, it's BMW.
BMW.
Yeah, okay, you do that. I'm going to say BMW.
Okay? BMW.
BMW. And a Mercedes is not Mercedes, as he says. It's pronounced Mercedes.
And an Acura is not Acura, it's Acura.
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 Okay, find me one person who says this.
He's
Gordon Liddy does.
He works in the studio right before we come in here.
Well, he's annoying.
Well, so are you sometimes, but we still love you.
Wow!
Oh, oh boy!
So do you have an ETA on that period? I'm going to guess.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Back it up!
Hold it, she's stopping you now, she's stopping
Why?
You.
Why?
So am I.
You have your moments, my dear.
Annoying.
Oh, boy.
You have your moments. We all
Don't
do.
Don't you ever.
Oh, dear.
You ever. You have your moments.
I cannot believe you who is this guy to you?
Who's what?
You're going to defend him and call me annoying?
Listen, sometimes she Gordon well, Liddy is annoying.
I'm going mastitis and Acura is retarded.
Listen, sometimes he is annoying also. But sometimes you are annoying.
I
want to
be in the same category.
She doesn't want to be in the same category with BMW and Mercedes. She made that very clear.
All right, then you are
you know where this comes from, Mike?
What?
1999.
Yeah, I think you might
Honey,
be right.
Honey, you're so
Leah.
Wrong about that.
I think you might be right.
Hello.
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 I thought you hung up.
Oh, God, no. That would have been horrible if you did that.
Honey, I'm past
I'm
that.
Going over the canyon. If we get disconnected, it's not because I hung up.
Hello?
I'm hearing myself talk back this whole time on the phone.
We're reading you loud and clear right
we're
now.
We're here.
Okay, good.
Waiting for the
Go
ETA.
Ahead. Don, I'm sorry. You were apologizing to me?
No, I was just saying that you are sometimes annoying. Why can't you take a bit
when
of reality?
When specifically am I
What's
annoying
that?
To you?
I think it's just, I'm sorry. I'm going to work as peacemaker here. Now, Leah, you said you're about to get your period. And Don?
When am I annoying?
Now, Don, what time did you get up to fly in from Atlanta today?
4 a.m.
Don got up at 4 a.m. and he's been up since 4 a.m. this morning.
But I'm not having my period.
Eastern time.
Even though... Done.
Yeah.
When am I annoying?
My final effort.
Listen, Bonnie, everybody is sometimes.
When specifically have I annoyed you?
Sometimes you're high maintenance.
When?
Now.
How am I annoying? By asking you when I'm annoying? You can't be annoyed at that.
Yeah, I can be.
But you're amused.
Yes, I love it when you're annoying, though.
It's delightful annoyance.
Oh, so now I'm annoying to you, too, Mike. Oh, good. What's happening out there?
I didn't say that.
You know what it is, Leah? Right now, it's a chemical thing with you.
No, but I haven't done anything annoying. I've been nothing but charming.
I agree.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
I don't think I wouldn't. The word annoying is not what I would use to describe this telephone call.
No.
But in the past, I've been annoying. Now, when you throw it out there, I want to know.
Yes. Listen, honey, on occasion, yes. Annoying.
Just like we probably annoyed you.
I'm positive we have.
I should never say that you have annoyed me.
Oh, then you are a liar.
Oh,
I'm
no.
A liar.
Oh, no. Annoying and a liar in the same conversation.
Listen, I know we've annoyed you.
Thank you for pointing that out, Mike. Don.
I know we have annoyed you, Leah.
You haven't annoyed me. I adore you guys.
What about one of the...
We adore you, too. You know that.
What about one of the 50,000 times we call you? Now, you've got to be honest with me. When you pick up that phone at work and someone tells you it's us, at least one time you have had to have gone, oh, Jesus Christ.
I swear to God, I have never done that.
You never had one moment where it's them again?
Never.
That's never happened?
I love you guys.
You swear to God?
I swear to God.
You never once think that we're annoying?
I love you guys.
Listen, we love you too, but it doesn't mean that sometimes it can't be annoying.
Don, don't try to get out of it. Just tell me when I've been annoying.
I couldn't put my finger on it, besides today.
Just in general.
Yeah.
Wait, not in general.
He didn't mean you're annoying in general. He did not mean that.
I didn't. Just today.
Don.
Leon, I am very tired.
Tell her that you love her.
So that's why you called me annoying?
I tell her I love her as much as I tell my wife I love her.
Mike.
I love you.
Mike.
I love you too.
Didn't he not say that you're annoying too? When we were talking about the Akira guy.
I don't know whether I'd have to go back and listen to the tape.
Mike, don't Leon. Be an ass.
I Leon. Don't. Now, don't call me an ass.
See, now,
I said, don't be an ass.
Oh,
I didn't say you are an ass.
See, when you scream, you're annoying. That's unbecoming.
Got it. Oh, okay.
We love
you.
So
I'm just going to start talking to you like this.
Okay.
How are you, Jen?
That would be fine. That'd be absolutely fine.
Good. I'm sorry to hear that you are tired.
And I'm sorry to hear that you have a touch of the annoying.
Oh, thank you so much,
Leah, I'm busting your balls.
He's kidding.
Quite all right.
He's kidding.
I like when you bust my balls.
You know, when you talk like this, it's scary.
Why?
I don't like it when you talk.
I'm talking to you.
Oh no! Now the phone's breaking up.
Being
twisted. Oh no! Don't
what, Leo?
Me. Hello.
What?
Oh God! Now the phone.
Hello.
Are you there?
Yes.
There she is. Okay, listen. Yes. Before your phone breaks up, I do love you madly,
and I love you too. And Buzz, Buzz, tell Leah you love her.
Leah, I love you. And now, Leah, I'll tell you. Wonder who is annoying. God damn it, Buzz is annoying.
Oh Lord,
that guy's a pest. Are you kidding me?
Well,
every day. Like a minefield around here with him.
You know, we all love each other on this show. And we all.
I haven't found Buzz to be annoying, so I don't know.
Well, you know, on this show, we all love each other, and we all find each other very annoying.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It's inevitable.
Oh, okay.
You know, and
there's
fine.
Nothing wrong with being annoying.
Nothing wrong with it. That's great.
Charming. Yep.
And I feel just horrible that there have been no moments during our relationship where you have found us annoying.
It's because she's not being honest, but
oh,
that's okay.
No.
Why would I? You guys don't annoy me.
We never annoy you.
I mean, this conversation right now, where we're talking about how sometimes you're annoying, that doesn't annoy
what
you?
What I find annoying is that you accuse me of something and then you don't have specifics.
Ah, so she just admitted to being annoyed at us.
So you are annoyed.
So now we're even.
And
I'm
now
annoyed with Don.
All right, and I'm terribly hurt you're annoyed at me. What are you going to do about that?
We're at an impasse.
I just want peace in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rob. And that was Rob that applauded firstly. I should point that out. We want peace in the family. Can't we all just get along?
Leah, listen, my love.
What?
Very seriously. Everybody is annoying. Everybody is sometimes.
I agree with that.
But I find you to be one of the least annoying people I know.
There you go.
And
that's
good. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, and you know I love you.
And I just
and
like,
I love you too.
I just like to picture you driving around, especially like over the mountain in that big town car.
You don't hear the brakes squeaking?
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear that.
I only wish I was there to help you. Put a cold compress.
In a white car, no less.
Oh, and a white car. Oh, I hope you don't stay in it. Oh, God.
What?
Oh, God. Well, you know, when
you... Did I say I have my period right now?
No. You said you had a white car.
Not to mention, because I have my period...
Although, listen, Lee, I want to tell you something. There is no better defense.
I just spit my water out.
I have heard this from girls before. If you're pulled over speeding...
Oh, yes, this is true.
Even if you're not having your period, you know what you do? You say to the cop, you say, oh, I'm so sorry, but my period just started and I was rushing home to get something.
That's right.
They will let you go 9 times.
Really?
Out of 10.
Yeah, because a lot of those cops are very uncomfortable with that.
What are they going to do? Give me the test?
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine that? They don't want to go into their...
They're not going to give you a test.
They don't want to go into the regular traffic thing and have somebody say that.
They don't want to look at you down there, so they'll let you go.
Some cops know it, though. Some cops do know that it's a ploy, but most of them don't.
But if you're really having it, like animals can smell it.
Yeah, and you know something? I tried it one time with a cop, and he doubled the fine.
Wow.
A lot of things. You know, you always say, wow. I thought that was funny.
Wow.
Good stuff.
I only make it
good stuff going on.
Thank you.
Listen. Thank you for the information.
Listen, do you want to comment on your episode tonight of your TV show?
What is it, Dino?
It says Doug is arrested.
Doug is arrested?
Is it a rerun, Robin?
Yeah, it's the Mets game one. They take Jerry to a Mets game.
Oh, the Mets game one.
Thank you, Rob. For those who haven't seen it. Oh, let me not yell. I don't want to be annoying.
That would be annoying, honey.
That's did Rob annoy you just then?
Okay, Bob, darling.
Rob's got the microphone, please.
Robbie, yes?
Now, when a rating sucked tonight, honey, I have you to thank because you just gave away the ending.
I didn't give away an ending. How did he give away the ending? He said that the show tonight is where Doug gets arrested at a Mets game. With Jerry.
But that's the whole show.
But, honey, it says here in USA Today where I'm reading.
Oh, yes. All right,
it says King Queen Doug arrested.
Oh,
yeah, but I can understand. No, I understand, though, Leah. I understand you getting annoyed at Rob.
I'm not getting annoyed with Rob.
Rob's an annoying guy.
He's very annoying.
Perhaps the most annoying on the show.
I just spent the whole weekend with him. Damn, he's annoying.
Even after two martinis, I was annoying.
Charlie, there's Charlie. You knew he didn't get
through. Anyway.
Now, that annoys me.
That annoys Don more than anything else.
That annoys me that we can't get through a single conversation without you inquiring as to how Charlie is.
Would you like to come in here and say hi to Leah?
Charlie's a nice guy. I already talked to him. How's Charlie?
Did you guys go to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
How was it?
Fantastic.
Kevin was there.
I know. Kevin did a comedy set Saturday night for Mel Carmerson.
And you saw him?
No, I was not able to go. I know people who went, though.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hold on. You're knight in shining armor here. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Charlie.
How are you this afternoon?
I'm annoying, apparently.
Leah, everybody is annoying sometimes.
Mike, is this whole true for you, too, now?
Nope, not at all.
Oh.
Not one bit. I've never found you annoying for one single solitary moment.
Well,
I find
you stand alone on this podcast.
I find you charming, captivating, and delightful.
I will stand alone on the aisle of honesty.
I also have a theory about Don. Don's annoyance with you is based solely out of his jealousy of Charlie.
Partly, yes.
Now, you may say partly. I say solely. You know, ever since you split your affections between Don and Charlie, when you showed Charlie the attention that you did.
Bring it up.
Are you talking about the letter again?
I'm talking about 1999.
It
all comes from that. We all know the truth.
I'm past it.
The best way to get through one of these family counseling sessions is when I get right to the truth.
I don't need intervention. I'm past it. Listen, we have to go play commercials now. And don't get mad because we're going to go.
She didn't last time. She's gotten better at that. Okay?
I'm not. I won't be annoyed.
Okay.
I will just say that I love you all.
Love you also. We will watch your show tonight.
Thank you.
8 o'clock, 7 o'clock Central on the King of Queens on the CBS.
You're the greatest.
And hope that you will call us this week and give us an update.
You know what? One thing we didn't ask, and we didn't get any with all this annoying stuff, we didn't get through to one central point when we had Leah on the phone that I wanted to. Leah,
what?
This business about us like coming out for another thing, do you think this is going to happen?
I very much want it to happen. You have to stay on Kevin.
We do. We have to kind of keep reminding him.
You have to call him up and say, listen, don't BS us, man. We're live on the radio.
Well, couldn't you ask him for us?
We're very inept that way. You know that, don't you? We need...
I have no power.
Oh, Leah, you're his wife.
Yeah, but that's it. I'm the wife.
Well, let me let you know, you're the comedy backbone of that show.
Well, you need to tell him that.
Mm-hmm.
You tell him Leo loves the idea, Leo wants it, and he'll be like, yeah, okay.
Mm.
You guys have to be on him.
We have to stay on Kevin.
Oh, we're not good at that, though. We're good at staying on him.